Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
It's that little Chico Pitbull, Mr. 305, but it said Mr. Worldwide. You already know what it is. Listen to my new podcast, From Negative to Positive. Subscribe today. Now, part of the things that we're doing over here at Negative to Positive is encouraging people to change their lives, change the things that are within their power. I want to thank our good friends at KFC for helping me bring this to you. Feed your whole crew with KFC. Let's go. I can get the KFC bucket of chicken, and you know, that's fire. Now, Babo, you know that you could get that mac and cheese, that mashed potato, gravy, those biscuits. Now, that's trouble right there. That is fire right there. You know, on Negative to Positive, we always talking about striving and achievement. And the Colonel Sanders story is a story that inspired me since I was 10 years old. Look how our life comes full circle. Now I'm talking about Colonel Sanders and Kentucky Fried Chicken and how much I love it. Listen to my new podcast, From Negative to Positive. Check out the vodcast. Subscribe today. Apple Podcast, Podcast One, Spotify.
Does anybody want breakfast? Guys, let's go. I'm leaving for McDonald's in 5 seconds.
Why do you start with that?
The Breakfast Stampede Meal. It's only at McDonald's, where there's a meal for every morning.
And nothing says morning like a classic sausage McMuffin with egg. Right now, get this all-time favorite for just $2 on the $1-$3 menu. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Welcome, welcome to Collider Live. It is Tuesday. We are back from a lovely Veterans Weekend. We missed you guys. Disney Plus just released Darkwing Duck and Gargoyles and Hannah Montana. I'm kidding. We're talking about The Mandalorian as well. But to join me in doing this, Mr. Hector Navarro is here.
Thank you. Gracias, gracias.
Mr. Coy Jandrew's here. How do you say your last name?
Jandrew.
Jandrew or Jandrew? Say it properly.
Jandrew.
Jandrew.
It's like J-O-N-D-R-O.
Okay, Jandrew.
Oh, I'm very, not French, so
very
I
sexy.
Gotta say
Jandrew.
Yeah. Mark Riley.
Hello.
Producer extraordinaire.
Love this crew here today.
Cody Hall, Alex in the booth, and then Ken Napsok. What are you doing here? How's it going there?
Is this the Mandalorian review for Jedi Council?
No.
I've made a huge mistake. This is the wrong show. I'm sorry.
Oh, God. Yes. We'll see you. See you Thursday, Ken.
I was wondering.
Your extra chair was confusing.
That was good.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, the Ken spotted in the wild, I'm always happy to see him.
I love that.
You can catch his Mandalorian review later on. Mm-hmm. How are you guys doing? Thanks for being here.
So excited
to have you.
Very underslept, very excited. Yes. Disney Plus morning is a rough morning.
That's on you. That's your fault.
I made life choices.
That's your fault.
I stand by them, mm-hmm. But man, am I hurting.
Did you guys have problems with the app?
No.
I couldn't find
I
it for a while.
All morning.
You did? You couldn't log in?
Couldn't log in. It wouldn't work. It was spinning. I tried online. Then it
did it give
on
you
my
the volleyball
PS4. Yeah, well, it had Pluto in space with Mickey in space saying technical difficulties. And I was like, that's about right. Oh,
okay. This morning?
That
I
was
think
this
it's
morning.
Probably because of the volume of.
I imagine
yeah,
so.
Yeah.
I told you, everybody was trying to watch Hannah Montana. That's what
it's
happened.
It's dark times.
No,
I had a great midnight to 4 a.m.-ish run. I had a great life choice.
What did you watch, man?
So I started with The World According to Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah.
And then I looped right into The Mandalorian.
Yep.
And then I went to
content.
It was bold.
Yeah.
And then I watched some of the documentary about where Marvel's going, expanding the universe.
Cool.
And then I went into key episodes of the Spider-Man animated series and X-Men animated series, and then I started watching the Endgame commentary and realized, hey, wait, the sun's going to rise soon, and I have to go to Collider.
So how are you still the Energizer Bunny with no sleep?
This is very impressive. This is the lowest energy I've ever seen Koi in my life.
This is 3 hours.
Koi needs
sleep.
A nap.
Yeah. I could use, and I'm doing 5 shows today. I just did Movie Talk. I'm going from this
Come
into
on,
Heroes,
man.
And then I've got Giant Size, and then we've got like a screening tonight. I've got to go another network.
To the
after
screening
this,
tonight?
And I'm going to screening
oh,
tonight.
Yeah. Whoever is going to Knives Out today, Collider is actually holding a screening today with a Q&A with Ryan Johnson. So I'm very excited about that because I've been dying to watch that movie.
I can't. Wow. I've already seen it, but Ryan Johnson, I can't not go to
well, say hi to Ryan Johnson for me. Say hi to him for me.
I'll say, like, Hector Mara says hi and thank you.
Yeah.
And here he is.
Hector hates The Last Jedi. That's what you should tell him.
No. Brick and Looper.
Are we already going there?
Johnson.
Are we already going there?
Director of Breaking Bad, Ryan Johnson.
Yeah. No, tell him I loved it.
Very excited.
Oh, my God. But anyways, I'm very happy that you guys are joining us. That is an excellent shirt, Koi. Emperor's New Groove is one of the most underrated Disney movies ever. Along with Hunchback of Notre Dame.
I would say Kronk is the ultimate Disney prince.
Yes, he's the best.
I would say, winner and champion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he speaks squirrel.
Yeah, it's very important. Like, he's like a Disney princess, and then he speaks to animals, but he's a Disney prince, and that he's a little denser than he should be.
Exactly.
It's the perfect middle ground.
Agree. So we all saw The Mandalorian, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, yeah. Hang on. Technical difficulties.
Yes,
no.
Okay. It finally came back.
Okay, yeah, great,
so about 7 o'clock, it came on, and I went, okay, now I can sit and drink some coffee.
It only took you hours to get
it. It took hours.
Did
I tried
it really
last
though?
Yeah, well, last night at about 11, it started coming on, and I had technical difficulties. Went to bed, just said, yeah, it'll be fine in the morning.
Right.
Still had it for about an hour. I was up at like 5:45 trying to work it. 7 o'clock, it came on.
Oh,
so look at that.
Show.
Look at that. Technology is sweet.
Yeah, I'm sure Disney's like, oh, crap. I guess we have this new thing that's called technology that they have to deal with that they haven't dealt with before.
They must have known.
Of course they did.
They had to know. They can't. Like, this is unprecedented volume, though. Like,
exactly.
Netflix went from a DVD mailing service, and then they slow built up to what they are today. This is actually going better than I expected.
Yeah. I
thought one would be able to watch for 48 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, I actually wasn't. Well,
yeah.
That's
kind of
what
happened. Yeah. And I was, and I figured it was, and a lot of people online, of course, I was like, to Twitter, let's find this out.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of people like, you should have launched it earlier so we could have gone through this. And I was like, yeah, I agree with that.
The app should have been available to
us. We should have had the app like at least a week ago. I agree with that. And then people were like, here's my screenshot of what I'm watching on Disney Plus. And it was that circle.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I saw a number of that. And I'm like, yeah, that's right, too. I'm angry.
This is
happening.
I'm pissed I can't get my gargoyles. I would be pissed, too.
And then it just started working. So look at that. I'm so
patience,
happy. Patience
Mark, is what you have. Speaking
patience.
Of patience,
yeah.
Really quick before we start talking about nerd stuff.
Okay.
How was your weekend at your grandma's house?
Well,
stuff happened, didn't
stuff
it?
Happened, yeah.
I'm
I don't know
so
if you guys are aware.
It.
Okay, so that was the last weekend at my childhood home.
Yeah.
So we sold it. I had no plans.
You
in
didn't
this.
Do shit. Yeah.
But it was the last weekend for me, so I got to do, hang out, take some photos for my wedding, with my fiance, which
That's
was really
awesome.
Nice because now we get to keep them forever. They turned out great. But Mom, as she's known, has been haunting the house. So so this time, we are in the piano room.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Do you believe in ghosts?
No, but I'll hear this story with
so,
open ears.
There's been certain things that have happened. Like the last time I was there, we have a back porch, and you can't access that except from the house, right? Mm-hmm. So I went out there, was throwing some trash away, coming back in, and we were all walking around doing this and that, and then all of a sudden the doorbell rang. And we're like, exactly. Josh McCook is somewhere looking around. So that was weird. I also heard, footsteps in the bedroom, in her bedroom, while I was downstairs.
Quite looks skeptical.
Everybody was
nobody
gone.
Nobody was there.
Do you not believe
nobody was there.
There.
Now, is it a creaky house? Is it an older house?
It's an old house.
Okay.
So you can basically go, well, that must be the wind, or that must be something.
Sure.
But when you hear actual footsteps,
right,
and the dog goes, what the fuck, and looks up, I'm like, okay. Hi, Mama. So that was kind of what happened.
Right.
There was a night that I was there a few months ago where we heard the door kind of go into the bedroom.
Wow.
And the dog again. The dog always knows. You got to trust the dog. The dog went, what the fuck is going on? Bark, bark, bark. I was like, yeah, something's going on. My fiance woke me up at about 3 o'clock in the morning. She heard pots and pans all hitting the ground in the kitchen.
Look at how happy
Doreen
is.
Just saying.
This is, yeah, Doreen is jam.
I believe in – I've experienced things that I can't explain, but I'm a person that likes facts, so it's tricky because
wow.
So the analytical face is me trying to think of the options of what could be the linear path while also accepting I've experienced things I can't explain. So I'm a person that needs proof. I'm very science-based, but I'm also like I can't explain some shit.
I have a question about Mom, if I can ask.
Please.
Because the reason I up to this point – don't believe in ghosts or spirits or the afterlife is actually a story that my dad told me when I was little. My dad told me that when he was a kid, his grandma lived with him and that his grandma came to him and said, hey, when I die, I'm going to come back when you're asleep and I'm going to pull on your little toes so that you know I'm okay. which is a really creepy but also very sweet sentiment to be like, I don't want you to, like, you'll know that I'm okay, I'm somewhere, so I'm going to pull on your little piggies. I'm going to pull on your little toes.
Oh, God, I'm getting chills now.
And nothing ever happened.
I'm going to start pulling on.
The moral of that story is my dad is a non-believer because he goes, well, if ghosts were real, like my grandma, she told me explicitly that she was going to come and sort of visit me, and she didn't, so he's like, so I don't believe. So he told me that story, and I think that that's a great story. You can kind of interpret it however you want. So I wanted to ask about Mom. Was there ever any point, was she ever like, hey, I'm going to come back, I'm going to – no discussion, no conversation,
no
anything about the afterlife, anything about what happens next?
No.
Interesting.
We lost both my grandparents in the home. They both passed in the home. Not at the same time.
Right.
My grandfather passed probably 12 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
My uncle saw him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he walked by at one point. And he saw it, and he had the goosebumps all up and down, and the nurse at the time that was taking care, like, got down on her knees and started praying because she saw something too, and it really freaked her out.
And they lived in the house for
the house since 1955.
Whoa!
See, I think they just want that, she just
attached.
Wants you guys to get out of her house.
It might be so.
And now
this weekend,
it's the next person's problem.
Exactly.
This weekend was where something actually moved. So
way.
We didn't see it move, but so we went to
and it wasn't Leia.
It was not Leia.
It was not your dog.
There is a front room where there's a piano. And we went and I play the piano every once in a while. So I'm playing. Some of my friends are over. Some family is over. And we're all having some fun. And then I look up and I go, why is that chair moved? I said, why is that chair moved? Was that like that? And I look to my fiance. I look to my sister. And we all go, I don't know. Maybe – I guess the chair – somebody must have pulled it out. And I go, okay, so I moved the chair back.
No.
And I go, you know what? Just for shits and giggles, can't speak today. Took a picture of it. We go about our business. The next day, we come back in, and the chair had moved back.
No
and way. And I went – and so Julie came and got me, my fiance, and said, did you move the chair?
Right.
And I said, no, I didn't. Why? And she went, well, it's back in that place. And so then my sister comes in on it, and she goes, well, that's not Mama. Mama likes everything in its place. She's like, that must be Frank, because Frank likes to watch people play the piano. And so the chair had
Frank.
Moved. Yeah. That's my grandfather, Frank. So,
Fuck you, Frank.
So, that's kind of a weird thing. I decided to leave it because obviously somebody wants it in this position.
Exactly. No, he actually sent me photos yesterday morning, I was so mad I wasn't there because I was going to actually come visit.
I know. I had
to work.
Life happens.
I used to like urban exploring, call it what you will.
Breaking into people's houses?
Not their homes.
Is that what you call it?
No, not their homes. I used to like breaking into asylums, like in New England. So there was a –
as one does.
Oh. What?
You seem more like you should break out of a silent – no, I'm kidding.
I mean, clearly I got here somehow, didn't I? No, but there's like the Northampton Lunatic Asylum that was near where I'm from. Yeah. And there's also like a lot of the old New England asylums were still up when I was growing up. They've torn them down since. But I was at one once, and you have to – the way you break in is going through the area that was where they stored the bodies, like where the trays of bodies were.
Here we go.
So there's only like one window to get into this area, and it's pitch black because it's literally a sealed area.
Uh-huh.
And they have all underground tunnels connecting like 86 buildings. They have to go in these underground tunnels with like fences in between.
No.
And they filmed Session 9 at one of the asylums I broke into.
Shit.
That's the vibe. But I remember we filmed it. It was a camera here and like flashlight here. And at one point, something ran down the length of my light beam.
Nope.
So like there's literally no way for that to occur. Like you would have to see the object. That's how light works, to block the
yep.
So I remember that moment and I had just said like, do you guys feel that? And then it happens.
Yes.
So I like forever have always been like, well, I've never seen proof, but I've felt something that I can't explain. And then we went back another time and we went up to the top floor, heat rises, and all of our breath got so cold we could see it, and we all couldn't really like understand.
Like in The Exorcist.
And like I was like 22. I was old enough to like rationalize some things.
Yeah.
So ever since then I want proof, but I have to accept there are things I can't.
But you don't have proof that it doesn't exist.
So
that's
I'm just
how
like,
I feel.
Nobody
right?
does.
That's where I'm going, because I've spoken these stories before on here, and I do get the occasional like, come on.
Sure.
Come on.
But
and
dude,
I'm like, yeah, I can't explain it. I just can't.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't explain why you exist. That's my point. None of us, we can, you know, we can look at science and
Let's
science
get
is awesome.
Into it, Dorina. But
we can't explain why we're here. Nobody can explain. Like, our consciousness is the one thing that science can't really explain. Right.
Okay.
Like you guys, like the fact that we all exist, like whether or not we exist, whether it's a simulation, we don't know. I'm just saying.
And if
we're matter,
it's a simulation.
Did you say a simulation?
Yeah,
I love this.
Just saying.
Because if it is a simulation, it would make sense. There's glitches in a simulation. If it's something that's being designed, or if quantum theory is as tangible as we think, it's very possible that other realities can conflict with ours. So
Exactly. Ghosts
might just be realities wherein that person is still alive or isn't alive at a different time,
yeah.
And that there's like that crossover.
And like that's why.
What? Right.
Exactly. That's why Schnepp is in another dimension. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so
that's
it's like Schnepp's right here while mm-hmm. not being here on our
exactly.
plane. And I love the idea of quantum theory extrapolating to the point where every decision we make is affecting other realities' thought processes.
Exactly.
Like
mm-hmm.
it's all optional.
Like that episode of Community with
yeah.
the different timelines. I love that episode, like when Troy shows up at the end and everything is on fire.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's it's such a good way of explaining, okay, there's all of these different realities that we all live in, and we could be living in all of them at the same time. We don't know that.
And right. I think as AI develops, we're going to see more and more connectivity. I think we're going to be able to observe things we can't yet.
Right.
Like if you're sitting in a room, like who knows what's in this room that we don't have the actual capacity to see?
Cody does because he's like the guy in Saw.
But like right now we have the senses we have, but animals like dogs can see things we
yeah.
can't.
Right.
There are probably things in the world we can't
right.
observe. We don't have the technology. But once AI gets to the point that's coming, it will be able to observe things we can't. And if that communication isn't a violent one, we'll be able to understand the world in a new and better way. I'm not pro AI, which it sounds like, but kind of. No, I'm really
but
curious.
Like maybe we could be AI ourselves.
But maybe as cyborgs develop, it'll be better. So I'm really curious as if in our lifetime we'll get to the point where we can see things that will be new to history.
Oh, yeah. I think so, just because of how rapidly technology has been evolving, especially considering, like, I'm a child of the 80s, mm-hmm. and we didn't have internet. So just seeing how much the world has changed that way
yeah.
in the last 20 years, let alone, like, the last 5 years, it's terrifying. But
yeah.
it's also very exciting to see what we're going to yeah. get in, like, 10 years from now. So I think we're all replicants. But
I love the idea that somebody tune in and they're like, okay, cool, I want to hear him talk about The Mandalorian. And then they're like, what?
Yeah. Well, we're hitting a little nonsense. Right here, if I'm looking at this outline correctly.
That's why we're actually following Mark's notes.
We're right in time.
For once. We're
yeah.
paying.
We got to wait.
Thank
we
you,
wait,
producer.
We've been doing that
we gotta
a while
do
lately.
A little nonsense for 30 minutes. All right.
Oh,
okay.
We got nonsense.
Dorina,
nonsense.
Okay, keep
so,
going.
And
ghosts.
Also, when you take LSD or mushrooms and you access
right,
other
now
planes
we're talking.
Of reality,
now we're talking.
That,
keep going.
I think, could be something we
what?
Can see without adulterants.
Okay, I'm going to get Joe Rogan here, but what if drugs that come from the earth, like
yeah.
actual
herbs. Help us access other.
What if that's the way that like aliens are communicating with us?
You
right,
did
okay.
go full Joe Rogan.
You lost me. I don't know.
I know. As I was saying it, I was laughing.
There's
got
to be some
but
dumb
you don't
aliens.
Know.
Yeah, like, they want us
we're
really
right
like,
here. They could just
say
be here.
Yeah.
What if aliens came back like millions of years ago mm-hmm. and planted these things? Is that what you're talking
that's
about?
What I'm saying.
Okay,
it's possible.
So they are the ones that like planted these
mm-hmm.
things,
mm-hmm.
So that they would become native plants, like you know,
yeah.
years later for the you know the dumb humans to stumble
exactly.
upon. And then
which
you know,
we have.
And all the aliens are watching us from above, going, "Look at these motherfuckers."
What?
Yeah.
What?
That's what I would do if
smoke
I was an alien.
It.
I'd be like, "Look at these idiots."
What if mushrooms are not only the thing that evolved us from ape to human, because we accelerated through evolution faster than anyone
oh.
should have. So what if mushrooms are the thing that aliens allowed that to do? Like they gave us mushrooms to accelerate
so
our process.
So you're saying we have to keep taking mushrooms to become mutants from the X-Men.
What I'm saying is if we keep taking mushrooms, that is how we might be able to access further intelligence because we see things at a different level. So it doesn't like last a permanent mutation, but if you take enough mushrooms, you see things differently. So what if that was not only the catalyst but is a way to further our own evolution?
Wait, whoa. I want to know what Cody thinks.
No, you don't. I am so confused right now.
Yeah, I was just about to say, it was my understanding there would be no math.
Well, the thing is that, you know, Coy didn't sleep, so we don't sleep.
Yeah.
This is what happens.
This is
yeah.
how it's going to be today, guys.
This is a natural high.
Yeah, this is just.
This is all
it's,
natural.
Guys, we're talking about Disney Plus, but Disney Plus what?
Yeah.
Equals
oh,
what?
Exactly.
What?
Okay.
Someone in the live
exactly,
chat
Hector.
Said Red Bull takes Coy for energy, and I appreciate you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know. You did you drink your Red Bull or Rockstar this morning?
I have not even had coffee yet.
Oh,
I didn't have time between shows. This is me. I've had water and a bowl of grape nuts.
Again, okay. Lowest energy koi I've ever seen in my life.
Hector seen me full tilt.
Practically sedated at this point.
I'm lethargic, y'all. It's dark. Yeah, it's Disney plus mushrooms equals advancement.
We need a.
Speaking of which, Spider-Man with some little.
I was going to say, speaking of all these cartoons, we'll talk about The Mandalorian, you guys. Everybody's like, you guys, why haven't you talked about The Mandalorian?
Yeah, there it is.
But,
no, not nonsense. Yet.
Other than The Mandalorian, what have you been most excited to see on Disney Plus?
I immediately put Gargoyles in my watch list because it's been a hot minute. I also put. The Three Caballeros, which I don't know if people know this.
God, that was...
Not the movie. Not the movie, Mark. There's a new cartoon show
that
Disney produced. Eric Bauza is one of the voices on it. There's a new cartoon show with Donald, with the Three Caballeros, that they have been releasing on like a Disney app internationally the past couple years.
And like, and they're all there, Pancho Pistolas, like all, all those guys.
Yeah, they're all there. Well, I haven't seen, it's like 13 episodes, and it's like the Three Caballeros going on some kind of adventure, and it's modern animation, new voices, it's all new. But for years now, since that has been kind of secretly announced, people in the United States have been like, animation fans have been like, why can't we get it? And eventually at some point they were like, oh, it'll be on Disney Plus.
Okay.
So that was the first thing I'm like, cool. Now I have access to it in this territory. Previously could not access it. But I saw some people on the internet, some international fans are like, oh, yeah, I got it. It's great. It's a great kid show. It's awesome. So I put that in my queue. I put what else did I put? I put because I recently watched for my buddy over at Screen Junkies, Billy Business. I watched well, you know Billy Business.
Yeah.
I watched the three Mighty Ducks movies.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I watched them all and I was like, oh, I don't like them.
But
they're
at the same time, my kid brain does love them. So it's just interesting. I'm like watching it. I'm like, this is amazing. And also my adult brain is like, this is a dumb movie. This is so bad.
But you know that happens with a lot of movies
in
the 80s. So because I watch – like if you watch something like Neverending Story, I still think it holds up.
Sure.
But there's
but
movies
adult
like
–
Exactly. Or like Labyrinth.
Sure.
It's great soundtrack, but it's also kind of ridiculous.
And also I'm such a huge fan of my favorite – it was like a little mini genre in the 90s, which was the inspiration. Kids playing sports movies. They brought back the Bad News Bears for the 90s.
Yeah, like Little Giants.
I love it.
Great
but
movie.
I think the best one is The Sandlot. I think The Sandlot is genuinely amazing film.
Mm-hmm.
So everything else I'm kind of comparing to that. So I watched the Mighty Ducks movies. I had fun. But in the 90s, I don't know if y'all remember, they made a spinoff animated anthropomorphic duck crime-fighting show called Mighty Ducks.
Oh, yeah.
The animated
series. I do remember that.
I put that in my queue immediately.
Inexplicably played hot.
Was it good?
Ian Ziering, Brad Garrett, some other voice actors. I remember loving it, and it was only like one season, so I'm going to rewatch the hell out of it. I'll let you know.
Okay.
I'll let you know.
Yeah,
that's what I'm enjoying most is the things that I would never intentionally seek out.
Yeah.
And you're like, that's right. And it's like I tweeted and Instagrammed about it because I couldn't handle my nostalgia. I was watching the Spider-Man animated series last night.
Yeah.
And it was like 1 in the morning and just hearing that like first riff, seeing that web come down, seeing like Morbius swipe the webbing. Like there's just so much that it brings you not just back to Spider-Man. It brings you back to being 6 or 8 or however old you were.
I was older, but
I used to VHS tape them and then stop for commercials and then quickly record again. And I broke so many VCRs just with that show. And then you bought the clam box for like $27 at Suncoast Video and it had that plastic
Suncoast
smell.
With like 3 episodes on.
Yeah, and then it was just
bullshit.
It was 45 minutes. You're like, you can fit more on this tape. I know you can.
I know. It was so dumb of them.
Profit.
Why did they do it? Exactly. Well, it was actually smart of them and dumb of us.
We were the dumb ones
because
we gave them our $27 for 3 episodes. But now we can just watch it all. And I think nostalgia is a piece of the times right now because we're like escapism so strong, but we're overwhelmed with content, so it's a great safety net of like we know this content, and it reminds us what it was like when times were simpler to us.
Yes, well, and that's it's interesting because we were just talking about that yesterday. I forget who I was. I probably Haley Fauch because you know she's my fellow witch.
Yeah.
But it's one of the things where it's interesting to see nostalgic things. Not like the rehash stuff that we see nowadays, like with Stranger Things or whatever, which is still cool.
Mm-hmm.
But when you watch something that you watched as a kid, like something like Batman Returns to me, like no matter how people feel about that movie, it just is always going to make me feel good.
Yeah.
Like I watch them, no matter what, it just brings me back to being like 12, right? Yeah. Or 10 years old and be like, this is like nothing else matters. Like this moment right now, like this art that I'm watching in front of me, like this is what makes me happy.
Yeah.
And that's how I feel about Spider-Man the cartoon, X-Men the cartoon, obviously Batman mm-hmm. the animated series, mm-hmm. like Animaniacs, right?
Do you guys get sensory stuff? Like I remember smells that I was experiencing when I was watching it.
Sure.
And like I remember eating certain things. Like I remember going to sleepovers and like when I watched this episode, I had this for dinner and we drank this. Like
yes.
it was like seven up or something. I was a kid, but
bologna
I remember
sandwiches.
Oh, you cut the little edges and you fry mm-hmm. them. So good. But I remember that along with the episode. So it doesn't just give me the show back. It gives me like chunks of my life I've forgotten back. Like Disney Plus is giving me my childhood back.
I know. It's like rewiring our hard drives inside our brains and like bringing us back to things like, oh, yeah, that's right. Like I totally forgot a Mighty Ducks cartoon existed.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah. Yep. And I haven't done any of the – I haven't, you know, gone around and navigated
Explore.
Through it yet because it took me forever just to get The Mandalorian. But there is a movie that I'm looking forward to revisiting that's going to be on Disney Plus.
Which is what?
Gentlemen, ladies.
Brink.
No ladies here, Mark.
Goth. The Rocketeer.
Oh, yes!
So good. So good.
Judge Johnson. One of the best superhero themes ever.
Yeah. Yes.
I love it so much.
Who did that score?
I'm trying to remember.
Was it
James Horner?
Was it James Horner?
It was either James Horner or Alan Silvestri.
I think it's Alan Silvestri.
Nope. Yeah.
Nope.
James Horner.
Ector was right.
Man.
Good job, Ector.
Man, I would have thought it was Silvestri.
Schmodown points gone.
Well, Joe Johnston.
Yeah.
You know? It should, yeah, James Horner. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, well, that's right. He was doing all that like 80s, 90s family stuff
right.
so
yeah.
well.
R.I.P.
So underrated.
James Horner.
I know.
Gone too soon.
Rocketeer is great. You know what else is cool? I saw somebody – I think it's always great to re-examine the stuff you love,
mm-hmm.
To recognize – how things have changed, mm-hmm. but still absolutely love it. You don't have to just say everything is, you know, oh, that's problematic. Shut up. You love The Simpsons and you love, you know,
sure.
all that other stuff.
Yeah.
But I saw somebody point out The Simpsons episode with Michael Jackson is not on there.
Yeah.
I was like, are you serious? Okay. That bugs the hell out of me.
Me too.
As
a completionist, I'm like, look, I'm loving that everybody is diving back into like Simpsons.
Yeah.
But if you're a fan and you're mad that like that episode isn't on there, first of all,
it's a part of history.
Yes, I'm the type of person that if I'm watching a show and I'm like for real committing to it, I'm gonna pull up like the Wikipedia entry on the show.
Oh yeah.
And sometimes I'll cross reference and be like, let me just make sure that they do have every episode,
mm-hmm.
just to double check. Okay, we got everything. Season one, good to go. Let's go. If you see something like that and you're mad, you know what? Go track down that season of The Simpsons on DVD.
Yeah.
Go do it. Physical media still, even with Disney Plus, still wins all because everyone's like, oh, great. I'm glad I didn't buy any movies in the MCU. Now they're all on there. I'm like, no, they're not.
Mm-mm.
You don't have The Incredible Hulk. You don't have the Spider-Mans.
Right.
So love what you love, but also if maybe Disney Plus or whatever is now getting you to the point where you really care strongly about stuff like this, of like, hey, don't edit that or don't leave that episode out, go get the physical media. You'll have it forever.
I mean, I have my precious, huge collection of VHS Disney movies, and not just Disney, but mm-hmm. but all of those things like that they actually have re-edited nowadays,
sure.
right? Like, didn't we lose like the priest in The Little Mermaid had like a weird boner and they got rid of that?
Yeah, he did.
So there's things like that people are like happy they changed. I'm like, I don't know. I think it's kind of funny that an animator was like, hey, this looks fun and kids aren't going to get it. So.
The Rescuers Down Under had those two window frames where it was actual live action, like boobs. Like
it was like actual real life porn
and that's gone now.
You know,
kids.
That was from the days of you couldn't pause things.
Right. Now it's very clear.
Isn't The Lion King when like Simba lays down and the dust comes
out
and spells sex?
Yeah. Well, and Nala does have the Disney sex eyes. And they got rid of those, too.
How
they don't have those in the movies anymore.
What do you mean?
When was the last time you saw Disney sex eyes?
You're right.
You got them from Ariel, Nala, but who else?
That dust is actually supposed to read SFX
because
it was done by the special effects team. But everyone's like, that's it.
Urban legend then.
Yeah.
It was SFX.
I still think that was edited later. You're right.
Yeah.
But also on the Little Mermaid VHS cover, there was a penis on Triton's castle.
Big dildo. Big gold dildo.
Definitely
that's
phallic.
So funny.
But also to Disney Plus's credit, there is somebody else pointed out when you go watch like the Dumbo movie, an old classic Disney movie, there's in the little description they have Disney put something like this may contain inappropriate content by today's standards, something like that, which I'm like, good, just do
that.
Warner Brothers does it for their Looney Tunes shorts.
Yeah.
Right.
They have some shorts that they do not hide away when really they should because they're like super racist or offensive or whatever. But they'll put out these collections kind of meant for adult collectors of Looney Tunes shorts, and they go – they have that little thing and that little warning in the beginning that says, look, some of this stuff is outdated, but to say that it didn't happen would be ignoring history and ignoring that things like racism and sexism occurred then. So we're just going to present it as is, but know that it is of its time and it's just for historical purposes. Disney could so easily do that. I'm not saying Disney, you got to put Song of the South on there.
Right.
Like that's it. That's a whole nother conversation. But they could very easily keep their legacy content forever by just having those little warnings and things and disclaimers where appropriate.
Speaking of re-edited things, did you guys hear that the Han Greedo scene was re-edited?
Change it again! What is wrong with them?
Wait, how do you?
There's only two options. Who shoots first?
No, this thing is
actually,
like,
well, it used to be Han shot only, not first. Right?
Yeah.
Because he shot Greedo and then he dies. But now they did a weird thing apparently where Greedo actually says something before right before he gets shot.
What?
It's McClunky or something, which I don't know what that means.
It's a space swear word. McClunky.
What does it mean?
I don't know.
Why would you add more to it? So
what's the thinking?
It's funny because I always laugh at people for getting mad at this. And when I saw it, I totally, like, my nerddom inside, I was just like, what the fuck?
It's so over and over again. It's gone poorly. Why would they make the same mistake in a new way? Like, that is aggressively dumb.
I know. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, you're
though.
Right. McClunky.
Yeah, what is that?
I don't know, but it's a hashtag right now, so it's happening.
But wow. What is just, the
because it's so no. weirdly funny, he said, okay,
yeah,
so.
No one seems to know what it means, but fans, including Patton Oswalt, are having some fun with it.
Looks like the seed money that McClunky Toilet Hucks gave to Disney Plaza.
They should rename The Mandalorian to The McClunky. That's so
the
weird.
Sequel.
I just don't. Yeah. So I heard there's an article on it. I mean, I just don't get why we need.
Either. Further like 20 changes.
If I read it correctly, I heard that it was like changed for the 3D. He was going to put the 3D. Remember, it was the at one
and
point
they
it was
stopped,
gonna, and they stopped because Phantom Menace came out, and
it
was
like
nobody. Like,
yeah. Well, that's your problem, George. Yeah. You opened with Phantom Menace as your first 3D Star Wars movie.
Maybe it wasn't the 3D part.
You should have put
Phantom Menace.
If they had put A New Hope in theaters in 3D when people liked 3D or at least would go to check it out, it would have done great.
We would have gotten Empire. Top Gun, it did well.
Yeah, we would have gotten Return of Jedi, and then he could have quietly been like, "Oh, here's a prequel, also in 3D," and people would have been like, "Cool,
nice."
While they're here.
So, yeah, it's changed again, which –
that's insane.
Well, they'll probably change it again in 3 years. So,
they have a new conversation. It's like a whole like
– it's like how can we fuck it up again?
I haven't been on live since this happened. Can I tell – I met Harrison Ford and he's the absolute greatest.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
Everyone like – I've heard so many – you know, he's like curmudgeonly and grump. He's the nicest guy ever. So –
what did you say to him to make him laugh? I need to know.
So
I need to know what you said to make Harrison Ford laugh.
You said Greedo shot first.
I approached him, and he was being surrounded by lots and lots of people, obviously, because even at a premiere, it's Harrison Ford.
Yes,
so even
yes.
with all these people there, it's Harrison Ford. And I, out of nowhere, like not mid-conversation, I opened the conversation with, hey, I'm a talk show host, and I really appreciate that you don't give a fuck when you do interviews. Like that was my open.
And that's what made him laugh?
And he turned around and laughed.
Great.
And then we started talking about journalism and scoop journalism and how much I hate how the internet has ruined journalism and is causing all of the problems we're in.
Mm-hmm.
And I started talking about like the integrity of not trying to get information out of someone they don't want to give and all these things, but also how much the host needs to work. Like they need to do their research. They need to know the comic. If you read a Wikipedia article at me, I'm going to have a problem. Like if we're doing anything from a movie fight to a thesis paper, if you're just reciting someone else's knowledge, no. So we talked about the integrity of having actual knowledge versus reciting someone else's.
Well,
and then
coming up with questions that actually relate to the ideas or the concept of like whatever it is you're talking about, and not just being like, how did you come up with this character?
Did you
exactly.
do stunts?
What was your diet? I hate that. So we're talking about all this.
It's
and
like,
then,
let me talk about how sad I was during my diet.
Let me tell you how I suffered for this. So we're talking and like it turns into like a one-on-one conversation. And then he starts doing the Harrison point. So I'm seeing this and I'm like, don't freak out at the Harrison point. Because I'm like, I'm trying to separate the moment. And like, so then he goes, you know, I've got a philosophy. If there's dead air, it's theirs.
Yeah.
And I was just like,
wow.
And I like want that tattooed on me. Like, because wow. That's exactly how I feel about journalists.
That's
it's
great.
On you to carry the conversation. It's yes. on you to do the thing. So Harrison going, if it's dead air, it's theirs.
And he pointed at
and
you.
And I
while
got the point.
There, yeah.
And then like, I don't like taking photos with people because it makes
yeah.
them uncomfortable.
Same.
But we'd been talking long enough and everyone else was taking pictures of him. Like they were snapping photos.
What
like,
is that?
And I was like, this is
like he's an animal. That's
someone,
so weird. Like, it, like you're in a zoo and somebody's just.
Off air, I'll tell you like, the creepiest thing yeah. that happened about. But so then we were talking
oh, no.
and someone had my phone over here and I was like, hey, I'm so sorry. Do you mind? He's like, no. And he moved my phone over and gave it to a security and a security guard took a picture with us. And then we had a couple more minutes. And then so I have a pride and joy photo of me
beautiful.
And Harrison. That
beautiful.
All went well. So I wanted to say Han shot first.
Han shot only. That's how it should
love,
be.
I love
that's
that man.
He's a murderer.
I was,
you're right.
I love that man. Yeah. He killed without
and you
remorse.
Know what? So is Cassian Andor and they're both dope.
Yeah,
true.
Exactly.
True.
But
and,
I just wanted
and,
to say.
And you know who else kills people? Hector the Joker.
Yeah, that's true. But that's a whole other thing.
just
there.
I just wanted to clear the air that Harrison Ford's the greatest. If you've heard any stories about him being grumpy, he was probably being harassed by a lot of awful people
I
like
just,
I saw.
I just think that anybody that's in the public eye, when you it's probably feels really nice to them when you treat them like a human being.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because people don't, right?
Right.
And that's why you get crazy people with weird attitudes because they don't trust people because they're, you know, they're mm-hmm. yesing them all the time. But when you just treat them as a human being and be like, hey, man, how's it going?
And
how are you?
Don't say the same stuff. Like, exactly. it was like Matt Damon who grew up near me. So we talked about the unionizing of teachers in Massachusetts. We
cool.
had an actual conversation about important things.
Right.
Christian played Dickie, who I know, like Mickey, and I boxed with Mickey. So we talked about Mickey Ward and Dickie Eklund. He was like, oh, Dickie just texted me and like me and Bale talked about boxing in Lowell
right.
and then I worked
great.
On a James Mangold film but I wasn't running it so I talked to him about doing stunts on Night and Day with Tom Cruise and that weirdness
yeah.
but I didn't like run around taking pictures of people at a premiere
right.
no.
like I wasn't trying yeah. to like it's just uncomfortable don't be a paparazzi that's invited
I know exactly
like, it's just wrong
I agree damn Coy like I still wish I had your energy because I'm like
you're
this
fine.
Tired
you're
like
fine.
You're so tired
yeah. I'm so tired
and like how are you like I just want like you should as an energizer bunny you should give us some
it's my fear of mortality because I know
you're
that
just
I'm
like
die.
You're just YOLO all the time
because like I'm at best like a third of
that's
the way of my
point.
Life right so if I only have so many minutes I gotta get as many words out as I can I gotta live as much as I can because
wow.
frankly it's almost over
my
who's
goodness.
Doing that Alex are you looking
frankly we're almost
look,
all
there's
dead
Coy.
That's me
Yeah, I'm sitting anyway. Next to him. The osmosis will kick in.
That's
yeah.
the acknowledgement.
I'm being held up by some coffee and Febreze right now. I'm just like,
yep.
Anyways, let's get to talk about nerd stuff so that our nerd audience is happy with us.
Yes.
So we got new Star Wars, you guys. It happened. We all saw it, right?
Yeah.
We all saw it in this room.
yeah.
First of all, we're not going to talk spoilers today because
no.
people have
okay.
some people have not seen it. Some people internationally, I don't even know if they have access to it, apparently.
Right.
But we do want to see... We do want to talk about whether or not we actually enjoyed the show or not. And
mm-hmm.
I enjoyed it for the most part.
How dare you?
For the most part.
How dare you use that most part stuff?
Look, okay, I've been watching Watchmen, and it's such a
Yo.
Fantastic show
Same.
That
Watchmen
it's really
so
hard.
Good.
It's like when I get obsessed with a show, it's really hard for me to watch a new show and be like, it's good,
mm-hmm.
but it's not like this other one,
mm-hmm.
you know? And look. The positives for me, it looks beautiful. The Mandalorian
mm-hmm.
is a beautiful-looking show.
Mm-hmm.
The cinematography is just – it made me want to slobber all over my TV.
The score.
The score by Ludwig.
Goranson.
Really, really great. Yes.
Very cool.
That's, thank you, Cody.
I don't think
that's it.
That's not it.
Yeah, this is
the
score.
That's
yeah,
not
yeah,
Ludwig.
Yeah.
No, that's definitely not Ludwig.
Are we sure?
But thank you, Cody.
Okay.
So every morning, Coy doesn't sleep.
so much to do.
But anyways, so the other thing I like, other than the music, is the fact that it felt like kind of like a Western. And,
yeah,
and
that's how
the original Star Wars was, made to be.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of cool to see that throwback feeling to the Star Wars universe. Some of the stuff felt a little prequelish to me, and I'm not a fan of that.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you say that prequelish, what do you mean?
The way
by that?
It looked, and some of the creatures, and it's just. I know this that Star Wars has changed, and it's never going to be like the original trilogy. So
it's weird how Star Wars has become the biggest thing ever,
mm-hmm.
but it still chases that like, it's just a bunch of guys in the desert with makeup,
right.
and the lips flap don't ever match perfect. But that's cool. It's a puppet,
yeah.
you know it's a puppet, and you know it's a puppet. But that's cool. It's charming. And it's like, yeah, it is. But like. y'all could make this look better, but it's a Star Wars. So it's interesting that they're like they have all the money in the world, but they're chasing that indie feel of like, this is all we got.
I thought that was interesting. The new trailer, the episode 9 trailer, the newest one, there was a shot where they were like following a ship into the larger ship, and like all of the details looked like it was from the 70s, which I know was intentional, but I definitely had the moment of like, I don't know how I should feel, because I get what you're doing and I acknowledge that's a positive, but I also feel like I'm seeing – like, I don't know. Yeah. And I felt the same with Mandalorian, where I really enjoyed it. I actually liked it more than a lot of I liked it more than a lot of Star Wars content. So I had a really good time.
I'm hearing a lot of that.
I'm just afraid of the internet. Star Wars fans scared me.
No.
Own it.
The internet, just don't say The Last Jedi and you should
be fine. I'm just
going
to not say those three words.
Cody, do you have a whiteboard ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. I'm going to, in fact, try not to say Jedi in case it sounds like the words last or the are near it.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed it because it felt like the original trilogy more to me than a lot of things have.
Yep.
And I really liked that Return of the Jedi makeup stuff when it worked more than a lot of the attempts I think lately have to make it old and retro, because I love the new characters and I loved how instantly endearing they are. Because to me, Star Wars is about how monumentally impactful a 2-minute character is. Mm-hmm. To me, Star Wars is this character has 3 lines and it has a toy because that's how much it matters.
Like Greedo and Boba Fett.
Instantly. Yep. And I love that character who just walks around saying, like, I have spoken.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yep. That character has 5 minutes of screen time.
Yep.
And I'm like, I'd buy that toy. And that's Star Wars.
And that's Nick Nolte.
Mm-hmm. Well, the voice. He wasn't in the – it was like a smallish actor.
But it is the voice, right?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I like
there
it
you
even
go.
More.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Brian Posehn's in this. Carl Weathers, I never knew I needed in Star Wars, but I totally did.
Werner Herzog.
Best part.
I mean, he was the coolest person ever.
Best part.
Yeah. If you guys don't know who he is, watch all his other movies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Watch Grizzly Man.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. But generally, you all liked it, right?
Yes.
Hector, what did you think?
I liked it. I had a really good time with it. I liked the – even though I had to retrain my brain, the pacing. I really enjoyed the pacing. I was talking to Roka about this outside. The pacing is vastly different from Star Wars that I'm used to, because at one point in the show I was watching and I'm like, am I bored, right? Am I getting a little bored? Mm-hmm. I think I am, because things that happen in this pilot episode, in this first episode, would happen in 20 minutes of a movie because the movies just move so quickly. But it's that Western vibe. Mm-hmm. It's a new pacing. And I was like kind of letting myself settle in and be like, this is cool that we're going to – you know, that this is going to be that nice stretched out TV format.
I like how you settle in.
I just – you know, you settle it, because at first I'm like, okay, here we go. Mandalorian, here we go. And the show's like, no. We're not going to go that fast. We're going to take 20 minutes to get off this first planet.
Yeah.
And it'll be cool, but like, hold your horses. And I'm like, okay, all right. Whew, okay, here we go. And I love the ending. I thought the ending – that's the ending that made me so, so excited. But here's the other thing. I loved the Western vibe of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it nailed a lot of that stuff. But while watching the show – and I really enjoyed the show and I cannot wait to see the rest of the season – I'm going to do the opposite of what you did, Koi. It made me like The Last Jedi even more.
Mm. Mm.
Because everybody
– no, lean into it, Hector. Lean into it, dude.
I'll tell you what, brother. I'll tell you what.
Let's go.
I'll tell you why.
And thank you for the last episode of Collider Live.
Rest in peace, Hector.
I'll tell you why. I'll never be invited back. I'll tell you why.
Nope. Guess what? Producer likes you. You're fine.
Martin Scorsese is right about every single thing he says about the Marvel movies.
Mm-hmm.
But I also feel like it is unfortunate that they're no longer the underdog. Marvel is the top of the food chain. And even within Marvel and that genre, I think that they should get more credit for bending and breaking rules that they're playing with. They absolutely have rules and limitations in their movies.
Mm-hmm.
And they themselves bend and break them to give us interesting and exciting stories.
Mm.
I think Star Wars has even stricter rules.
Yeah.
And even though there's this
trilogy
from the beginning
or after
to
the
now, everything.
Okay.
Everything. I think that the prequels, one of their many sort of mistakes is that they're also adhering to those rules more so than people think that they deviate from them. I don't think that they do.
I agree.
I think they adhere to those rules. And I think that the rules of Star Wars are great and have led to continuity, consistency, storytelling, and stuff that I love about comics. I love continuity, but it also means like you're here,
right?
And you're only going to get that. So to be able to, like some Marvel movies in Phase 2 where they're bringing in Ant-Man with the heist vibe and, you know, other movies that are like, well, now it's this, but this vibe where it's all still superhero movie. Winter Soldier is a political thriller. It is, right, but it's still a superhero movie. Star Wars should be able to do more. We have always wanted more vibes, more tones, more genres.
Right.
And I want to see so much more of that.
And tonally, I think that each trilogy actually has different tones, like, for sure.
Agree.
And so, that's kind of where I was hoping Mandalorian would be something that's a mix of everything.
Sure.
But also new stuff that we haven't seen before. Because that's how you expand a universe, by not just adding new characters, new planets, new whatever. But
new tones and new themes. Yeah.
And it feels so nice to live in the same universe with new characters. Like, specifically, it feels so nice to not be waiting for Leia, Luke, or Han.
Right.
It feels
Agreed.
So nice to not be like
so,
– and that's what we talked about when I was on Rule of Two. Sorry.
I agree. I think that it's a strong showing for what the potentiality of the show could be. And I can't wait to see that explored. I love the new characters. And I also love that there's a lot of like, this is post-Empire, post-Return of the Jedi. I like living in that little world. But all of that said, it still felt like, especially because, you know, I watched the newest episode of Watchmen right before.
Yeah.
And Watchmen's breaking my brain with what it's doing with the rules of TV. Here's a spoiler. I'm sorry. I have to do this for Watchmen.
Dude
throws little fetuses in a lake. And I was like, I'm like, how can you do this?
Mm.
And then I watched the first episode of The Mandalorian, and it is Star Wars. It's cool, and it's a Western, and I dig it, but it definitely is. So I'm like, I'm thinking about that. I'm thinking about Martin Scorsese's very correct observations about genre filmmaking and big pop culture filmmaking. So,
and how safe we stay, right?
So my takeaway was I dug it, but that's another reason I really, really, really like The Last Jedi, because it still plays with those things. But to me, The Last Jedi bends or breaks as many rules as it can get away with while still feeling and being like Star Wars to me.
Right. And so, okay.
God, yes, man.
Really quick.
Everything. Yes.
Really quick. Yeah. Well, I disagree a little bit. I agree that anything – I said it before on the show, but anything to do with Luke and Yoda and the Rey, Kylo stuff, like I loved all that.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Canto Bite stuff that took me out of the
movie.
Listen, I can't get over that.
No,
that
I get
stuff.
It. It's corny and cheesy. And Star
it's
Wars
not
is
Star
full
Wars.
Of corny and cheesy. I would disagree.
Not that way. That was like weird Harry Potter for kids or Spaceballs humor. That wasn't original.
I disagree. I go, you got to look at the whole thing as, again, adult brain. And there's weird, goofy, puppety, cheesy, corny stuff in all of in the prequels, in the original trilogy. I don't care what your favorite is. I don't care what you like. I don't care what you think is serious for adult. It's all goofy, silly, fun stuff for children. But what I love about that stuff, and I know why people don't like it, and it's totally fair. It's weird and it's silly and it's goofy. Thematically, I think it, again, bends and breaks some rules of Star Wars. It actually brings in some, well, this is why the wars of Star Wars is happening.
Yeah.
And here's who's benefiting from them. And here are the
this
power
is why the
structures.
Wars in the stars is happening.
Seriously. And then you have to have the Rose character to Rose Tico explain to Finn, like, no, this is how the world works, and I want to inject some of these themes into this space adventure about a solitary person that takes up a destiny. Like, but there's a bigger picture here, and DJ is involved in that, and I just loved what those themes brought.
I agree, they ride horses,
it's goofy,
it's
looks
the
bad.
Execution.
Sure.
Everything
sure.
you're saying makes sense.
But again,
but I didn't like the dialogue or the execution for all those scenes.
That's fair. I forgive it all because I forgive a lot of corny Star Warsness, but I understand people's mileage may vary.
For me, The Mandalorian does what I think genre content does well, is it gives you a different flavor while still knowing exactly what you want out of it.
Mm-hmm.
When I watch a Star Wars or a Marvel movie or anything, even if it's like you're saying a different genre within a genre, which is something I've always admired these films are able to do, I think Rogue One took a lot of different chances, and I think that's the beauty of these films, but you're also like, you know what that $17 or $12 or however much movies are in your town, you know what that's getting you.
Mm-hmm.
And that is both the gift and the curse of the content, because it really keeps you in this perspective for the filmmakers, but it also is reliable, and that's why they make all this money.
Right.
But I love with Watchmen and Mandalorian existing at the same time, with El Camino, which I love so much, with all of these things is – it's like going to a comic store or going to a good restaurant.
Right.
Mm. It's either – for me, those are the two ways I see content. Yeah. The comic store is you got a spinner rack. I can either go Vertigo title. I can go – you know, Young Spider-Man title. I can go Ultimate Spider-Man or Spectacular or Amazing. Or I can go over here and read something I've never read. I can read Saga or Mr. Miracle.
Right.
That's all the content. Or it's like a great buffet where I can make these choices. I don't want Mandalorian to be more like Watchmen. Just have to know when I'm switching over to make sure I let myself go, I'm having potatoes, not green beans.
Right, yeah. and that's you describe it perfectly, Coy. And I think that it's true that it's weird that I grew up reading all these superhero comic books, right, mm-hmm. and being obsessed with Batman, X-Men, etc. But then as an adult nowadays, maybe because we're so inundated with that content, I seek the indie alternative comics, right? Mm-hmm. Like Brian K. Vaughan's my favorite comic book writer of all time. So every time he write something new, I want to check it out, whether it's mm-hmm. Saga, Private Eye, like whatever. Everything he does is amazing. And so that's the type of stuff that is going to be at the priority list mm-hmm. for me, totally. You know, like at the top of my mm-hmm. priority list. Mm-hmm. And then if I still have cool Star Wars stuff to watch,
bonus.
Or cool, then that's cool, right?
Bonus.
That's kind of how I see it. So that's why I wasn't seeing The Mandalorian with the eyes of, like, you know, a super, like, a snobbish critic that I was like, oh, well, that – I mean,
this
I kind of –
be the best TV show ever made. No, it's
exactly.
Not,
it's just it's just meant to entertain, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So, and what did you think, Mark? I haven't even heard your thoughts.
I mean, I loved it. I think I go – what really stuck out to me, what you were saying, Hector, is this world building and this – that it took its time where you were like, what? And that's what really hit me. It was like so assured of itself. It
Love
just
it.
Went, you know what? Here it is. And it's taking its time to world build. And it wasn't making any qualms about it. It was mm-hmm. just like, here's the Mandalorian. Here's his first mission. You know, mm-hmm. you're going to see this. You're going to feel the world. You're not immediately getting a crawl that's telling you where we are in the universe like mm-hmm. all the Star Wars movies do, right? So this is just, boom, you're dropped into the story. And if you like it, great. If you want to hang out, like – and I've already seen – some reaction to, you know what, I was expecting it to be Game of Thrones in space. And it's like, well, that's on you, I think.
Right.
Because
well,
if
you
are walking in, you do have expectations. And I get it. And I have my own expectations. And I was expecting and wanting Game of Thrones in space. And what happened was it started and I went, I don't know. Wait, I'm feeling weird here. There's a certain character at the beginning that I was like, I don't know if I like this. The tone. I don't know if I like this.
You were being like a nerd. You're like, oh, I don't know. Yeah,
the Horatio Sands character?
I believe so. Yeah, I think so. So
yeah, I really liked him.
Then I found myself, I go, you know what? All this shit, you know, mm-hmm. got to let the filmmaker, let Dave Filoni in this case, do the job that he was meant to do. And so I just sat back and then it just washed over me.
Great.
And I was just launched into this world mm-hmm. where I'm not getting any answers. And I'm sitting there going, give me answers. What is happening with Return of the Jedi? And 5 years later, and where, how's he going to be the First Order? And where's Snoke? And where's Snoke?
And you're just sweaty everywhere. And Julie's like, what are you doing?
Yeah, no. Julie took off before this. So I had a nice quiet moment. So it felt really good. And then there was moments where I perked up at certain world building mm-hmm. of the Mandalorian culture itself.
Super
where
cool.
I just went, oh, shit. And then that ending.
The ending
nailed it for me where I go, there's the through line for me that this is what the first season is going to explore. And what the Mandalorian does, he's already a gray character. We don't know his loyalties. We have an idea. But I thought it was stuck the landing for me as far as here's the series we're going to put out there. And that it felt like a pilot. It felt like we've had these shows before come out where you're like, huh, okay, I think I like it. I know – and then like you hear it with like Game of Thrones. You hear it with certain shows like Breaking Bad I heard
about.
You got
to give it 4 seasons.
Yeah.
This
for me is like the first episode really did its job as far as setting the world, setting the characters, the feel of the universe, and then not answering a lot at all. For me, it was like it really didn't answer much of anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what mm-hmm. I loved.
What I really appreciate is all three of us described it as leaning – like we all had some allegory towards like leaning back and settling in. Like,
yeah.
And I feel like what I liked most about the show is that when I was watching it, I was thinking this is exactly 100% in every way what I would want from a Star Wars show if I knew nothing else. If 10 years ago you told me there would be an app called Disney Plus, I'd be like, I don't know what that is.
Right.
If you told me all this content – I'd be like, that sounds great, but I wouldn't know how much I wanted nostalgia yet because I was 20 and didn't mm-hmm. know. But if you told me at 20 that I would have a Star Wars show with a Mandalorian and it would be this great Western heist and it would play with time and play with world building, it couldn't have landed that more.
Yeah.
And it feels like reading a Star Wars comic or reading one of the books that's over here.
Totally.
And that's,
that's
for
true.
Me, that's everything. So I was able to go like, this is that thing I didn't know I needed.
Right. And it's weird to think about. Imagine if we had this show now, but we hadn't had anything new Star Wars since the original trilogy.
Oh, it would have broken the internet.
Yeah.
And I think the show would have been different.
Well, not only that, but I also, I'm wondering if the show would be better because of that, even because you don't have
maybe
all of this.
The pressure.
Exactly, the pressure expectations that people put on something like this, where it's like, what's the distribution of percentage
totally.
That we have to like give to nostalgia, whether it's like, or fan service, and but what's the percentage that we're putting into just making a good show, regardless of trying to please anyone, right?
Well, we have this story, and so we're going to do it. It's The Mandalorian. That's what we're going to do, and they release it weeks before the episode 9. No pressure, literally no pressure.
Yeah, like, I find that very fascinating.
Right before,
Also, can we talk really quick about my favorite part of the show?
Yes,
please. As long as it's not a spoiler.
It's not, because he or she is in the trailer, which is IG-11.
Oh, yeah.
Because IG-88 is the coolest droid in the universe, and I was very happy to see
really
that.
Fun.
That
my,
was my favorite
my
scene,
favorite
personally.
My favorite part was Werner Herzog, for sure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's pretty rad.
Yeah.
But IG-11 shoots stuff. Like, we got to see him do the laser thing, and that was really fun for me.
That,
I very much enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm. That was amazing.
Yeah, and I was
IG-11,
all like, halfway through the show, I was just, like, you know, being a dumb, like, nerd critic.
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as IG-11 showed up, I was like, oh, yeah. Guys,
you know
there's my guy.
You know what's great about that is that IG-88, I was never a huge fan. Mm-hmm. I didn't love the design when I was a kid. Uh-huh. I think I had a buddy who had the action figure. Everybody knows IG-88 is one of the bounty hunters in the sort of Boba Fett group.
Yeah.
And they all look really cool.
He's the coolest looking one.
Super cool. But here's the deal. With 1980 technology, that robot could not move.
Right.
The action figure, you know, you're getting the Kenner movement, and I'm like, how effective can that be as a droid? Then I see IG 11, and I go, this dude can move.
Mm-hmm.
And I like with CG adding to his
so
movement,
beautiful.
I go, that's a great design.
Yeah.
I love it. I get it now. So.
And I love that it was like a 90s action scene set within a 70s Western. I love
exactly.
that like, the robot was Jason Bourne making moves. And like, I know that's 2000s, but like that kind of
he's
thing.
He's like Neo.
And it's just not. And then it makes sense. Why would a droid need to look? It was just all of those things.
Super
and that,
great.
Oh, man, I love that.
Yeah, no, I hope we get to see his flamethrower one day.
We will.
Yeah. Anyways. Mm-hmm. So any other thoughts on our nerd show that's blowing up the internet currently?
There's another nerd show in Disney Plus, but I don't want to tangent yet.
Oh, what is it, Koi?
The World According to Jeff Goldblum.
I know. I'm very impressed that that was the one you went to
the
first.
The moment I turned on the app and I clicked on Jeff Goldblum's face.
Did you love it?
I try to be an exclamation point as a person. Like I try to be.
You're doing an excellent job.
Thank you. So I think Jeff Goldblum is that with more panache.
Uh-huh.
Like he's got like an inherent sexiness that just is unattainably describable.
He's
like,
also just always so perfectly relaxed. I want to achieve that amount of relaxation.
He's like zen but zealous.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's like zenless and I want it. So I love Jeff Goldblum and I was wondering if the show would get like cloying. Like if it would be too much Goldblum because love
well,
when
there's
Bill
no
Murray.
Such thing.
Is there anybody else on the show? It's just him.
It's walking around with him exploring things. That the thing that makes him so fascinating is how much he's fascinated. You're interested because he's so interested, and I didn't know how long that would last. I learned nothing new about sneakers. It's a sneaker episode. I could not tell you one new thing about sneakers.
Right.
And yet, for 30 or 40, however long it was, I was enraptured at how much he wanted to know that I gleaned nothing from.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a show that's even more about nothing than Seinfeld. Like, it's a
perfect.
Show.
It's about Jeff Goldblum.
It's about Jeff Goldblum, but it's not even about him. It's about him in the world.
Yeah.
It's like the Truman Show if it was real. But he knows.
Yeah.
Sounds like the perfect
but
background
But you don't know
show.
If the Truman Show isn't real. You
we
could
be in a simulation right now.
Exactly. There you go,
And the
guys.
Cameras are a great setup because I wouldn't even be alarmed by seeing them all the time. You've been brainwashing me for the last few years. It all makes sense.
Yeah,
Twitter
exactly.
is just to watch. But no, it's that and it's perfect for if you love that style of show. It's like Comedians and Cards Getting Coffee, but even more streamlined.
Okay, mm-hmm. great. I'm looking forward to it after I finish Gargoyles and Darkwing Duck. That's
You'll
my priority.
Did Goldblum end up in a Rite Aid parking lot by any chance?
Not in the pilot, but there's more time to come.
Because I swear, that's my Goldblum story, is that he was like not near the front of the Rite Aid. Like he was in the middle of the parking lot, and he was doing the Goldblum. I'm here. It's
parking
the lot.
Yeah.
and I drove by and I went, you have got to be fucking kidding me.
Yeah. That's
just like he's just standing there.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Well, Parking.
People.
That's
people,
really good.
People,
one.
It was so perfect.
What is it? What is it? People park here.
It looks very chaotic.
Fascinating.
Yeah. And I was like, I hope he made it to wherever it is. Maybe there was cameras. Maybe it was like. But I'm like, I think about it to this day. Why didn't you help Jeff Goldblum get to where he needed to be?
Why didn't you stop and say, "Can I help you, Mr. Goldblum"?
Oh,
because then he would have been like, "I think so."
Because I didn't know what to do.
Life finds a way. He'll be.
Yeah. Good
He'll
point, Hector.
Fine.
And with that, thank you, Hector, for that lovely segue. We're going to take a break, and we will come back and talk about more nerd news, more simulations that we probably live in. I don't know. Koi is probably Mr. Truman. And we will take your call. So go take a bathroom break, you guys.
Yeah.
Oh, I gotta take a shit, Alex.
Hey guys, it's Perry here to let you know that Movie Talk is moving. We've had a great time in this 3 p.m. Pacific slot, but guess what? We want you to start your day with Collider Movie Talk, so we're moving. 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern. It's going to be a lot of fun. You're going to get a longer show with some brand new segments, so tune in starting Monday, September 16th, 9 a.m. Pacific. See you there.
Hey everyone, John Rocha here, the host of Collider Sports Time. Well, you know, if you've been watching us every week, you know we break down the latest and the greatest in the world of sports, talk about the big issues, the big games, all of it with a rotating band of guests like Matt Nose and Josh McCuga. We've had Taylor Bisciotti on. We've had so many great guests. Now, if you want to see more of Sports Time or you want to try it out for the first time, remember to subscribe to Collider Sports YouTube channel for all the sports goodness.
Hey guys, it's Riley here. Let me tell you about the Riley Roundtable. You know it, right? It drops every Thursday on Collider Conversations, and I have guests from all across the space. John Rocha, Gray Drake, Alexander Desplat came on at one point. We talk everything from movies, we talk about life, and everything in between. What do you want to hear? What do you want to talk about? It's the Riley Roundtable every Thursday on Collider Conversations. You get it there.
Hi, I'm Koi Jandro, host of Collider Heroes, and I'm here to tell you we've got 20-minute episodes coming at you on Collider Video on the YouTube, as you've always loved it. Plus, now we've got hour-long podcasts dropping every Thursday, so make sure to subscribe to the podcast because it's going to get even more sweaty on the podcast. Plus, every week we're going to try to get some very special guest interviews, all of the people that help shape these movies and TV shows you love. So, video, podcast, interviews all coming at you. Be sure to subscribe. Thanks so much, guys. Stay sweaty.
What's up, Collider fans? Ryan Satin here from ProWrestlingSheet.com, where you can find the top stories throughout
the week in the world of professional wrestling.
If you're a wrestling fan like myself, then you'd be doing yourself a disservice by not checking out all the shows we do every week on YouTube.com/C/WrestlingSheet. In particular, on Wednesdays, we've got a SmackDown recap show hosted by John Rocha and myself, where we pick apart and talk about every little thing that happened on the Blue Brand. So do yourself a favor and go subscribe at youtube.com/C/WrestlingSheet.
Hey guys, Riley here, and let me tell you about Rule of Two. You looking for a Star Wars fix? Well, Rule of Two is that show. It drops on Collider Video's main YouTube channel, as well as on Podcast One's Jedi Council feed. So go over there, subscribe, share it with your friends. It's hosted by myself and Mark Fernandez. We talk everything in the Star Wars universe with a lot of deep dives and a lot of conversations that go all in. You know what to do. Subscribe, join us there, and rise.
Hey everyone, John Rocha here, the host of Collider Mailbag. A new episode drops every Saturday and Sunday in your face and in your ears, answering the questions from you fans about the world of entertainment, film, and television. Me and great guests from our sphere do the best to answer your questions from Twitter, from Instagram, and of course, email as well, every Saturday and Sunday.
Hi, I'm Amy Dallin, one of the hosts of Collider Heroes, and starting right now, you can catch our show Tuesday nights with a new Collider Heroes and a longer Collider Heroes podcast, where Koi and I are going to talk your ears off. You already know that's coming. So make sure to go to YouTube, subscribe, and find us on the Collider Heroes podcast feed for all of that sweaty goodness.
The Witching Hour is all over Collider right now. You can listen to that horror-filled podcast with myself, with Haley Fouch. We talk about witchiness. We talk about slashers. We talk about space horror. You name it, all on that show on the Collider Factory feed. And on top of that, you can find an article all about Witching Hour every single Tuesday on Collider.com. Check it out. Get scared.
hopefully you survive the witching hour.
And we're back with Mr. Energizer Bunny. And Hector, we need a nickname for you.
Okay.
What do you want to be called?
He's like, I'm open to this.
Let's let it be organic, whatever you want by the end of the thing.
Okay, is this your last show? Are you coming back?
You tell me. I don't know. I'm the one that was like, Canto Bite's cool. And you were like, we'll see.
Can I call you that? Canto Bite?
Sure.
Jeez.
It's not going to stick. That's so sad because I like you and I didn't like Canto Bite.
It's going to stick darkly. The internet is.
Yeah.
That's so sad.
Well, maybe if you call me that, maybe eventually you will begin to like the sequence on Canto Bite because you'll associate it with Hector every time you watch.
True.
You'll go,
it's
very positive.
Oh, Hector makes some good points. Whatever. This
no,
is dumb.
I'm not going to think Hector makes some good points. I'm going to think, Hector is cool.
He's such a dummy.
And he likes this dumb scene, but it's fine. It's fine.
That's
so
fair.
And that'll make me smile because I'll think of you.
It really made sense in the context that you bring up Canto Bite because I'm with a number of people. Yeah, it didn't really work for me. But I think that what you said about it being kind of Star Wars-y and how it for the kids, so to speak, I think is right on the money.
Yeah,
I do.
Whatever. Guy, we don't have to gang up on Dorina. It's fine.
She's right. No, I'm just taking the middle ground.
I'm the toughest one in the room. Come on. You guys are awesome, but come on. I can take all of you.
Why do you say
especially emotionally. Maybe not physically.
It also just goes to prove that there is no new Star Wars content that we can watch without The Last Jedi being uttered.
Yeah.
I mean, it just
happens. How long do you think that's going to happen for, like, years and years?
35 years.
Or until now we all fight about episode 9.
I don't know. Let me ask you a question. When people talk about The Phantom Menace, do people still say Jar Jar Binks?
That's true.
So, like,
I think
forever.
Now people like him.
The fans have unfortunately decreed it so. So we're going to talk about that stupid movie forever.
Why do you think fans, like, saying something's for kids takes it so offensively? Because I don't think we're implying that it's just for kids.
Because
I mentioned Sonic being geared towards 7 to 12 year olds on Movie Talk.
Yeah.
And, like, so many people were very upset that I implied because that the children's movie was made.
But also, when I brought up one of my favorite cartoons of all time earlier, Animaniacs.
Right.
It's technically for kids, but there's
different.
A lot
so
of
smart.
Stuff. It's so smart.
Yeah.
And because kids are smart. Like,
I don't think it's an insult. I think people receive it as such. Like,
I saw this. I'm not going to take credit for it. Somebody posted it on Twitter recently, maybe in the last 24 hours. When you associate yourself so strongly with a fiction, when you associate yourself so strongly with a brand, you pose the danger of any criticism towards that thing then becomes a criticism of you as a person. That's the danger. So people literally take it personally
because we don't separate.
They associate themselves so much with the thing.
Yeah.
Then when someone goes, oh yeah, that's great, that's for kids, they go, oh, I'm not a kid.
Right.
I have to justify me in my 30s and my 40s and liking the thing. So in order to justify it, I have to prove why it is mature. It's like,
but
no,
it's
you
also
don't.
Funny that people are like, I'm not a kid. I'm like, we're all still children. Nobody's an adult. So why?
Young
I don't know why
heart,
people are
man.
So.
And that's what Star Wars
young,
does.
And
for
young
me.
And dumb in mind.
There
so.
It is. Fine. All of that in the above. Star Wars does that for me. Yep. It always will. It always will remind me of my childhood.
Exactly.
So it's like whenever there is even bad Star Wars, critically, whatever, it's good for me. It works. There is something in The Phantom Menace. There's something in Attack of the Clones. There's something in Last Jedi. Everything
you can
that I can
something.
Take and go, that's some good Star Wars.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's
how I feel about any franchise. And I am guilty of this because I used to be like the angry nerd all the time.
Yeah.
Like I've said this before when they announced Batfleck.
Sure.
I put that gif of the guy throwing his computer through the screen. And
Affleck see that comment and that's what he talked about on The Tonight Show?
Exactly.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Yeah. How many years ago was that? And then I saw the movie and I was like, oh, he was pretty good.
Yeah, he's great.
Ben Affleck's badass as Batman.
Yes. And so that was the last time that I remember being angry at something. Yeah. First of all, criticizing something before I see it, which is very dumb, and we have all been guilty of.
Yep.
And number two, just being like, I have Michael Keaton Batman, I have Christian Bale Batman. Like, there's so many different things in all of these different franchises that have been expanded. They have so much content that you can actually take something from each of those that you like. Even if you don't like the whole movie, even if you don't like the whole TV show, there's something that you can think about that was cool. Yeah. That's how I see things now, instead of ripping it apart.
What I think is interesting with what you're speaking to with the fans seeing it as a personal affront is the whole way media works is that the suspension of disbelief has to be at a certain level. Like, horror movies work because you actually feel like you're running up the stairs like a dumbass. Like, they actually work because your palms are sweaty. You don't acknowledge their palms being sweaty. So I do think you becoming a part of the fandom is the double-edged sword. But I'm wondering if as we evolve and as media becomes so much more prevalent, if there's going to be a breaking point where we literally lose the ability to separate what our opinions are and what the opinions of those we admire are.
Yeah, it's already happened.
It happens on Twitter every day, though. Yeah. I mean, that's how Twitter works, is people are, what's trending? I'm going to tweet this because I think I'm going to get all of these retweets. Even if it's not my, like, wholehearted opinion, I know that some people are going to agree on this. And that's what people want. And I think that what you brought up, Hector, comes from, or Hector, because I want to call
you
Hector.
Gracias.
I think that comes from people's, not just their expectations, but if we don't like what we don't even have our own opinions, is my point. Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes we just think, this is what I should be thinking, and we're basically like sheep. When we criticize something, we're like, that's it's so weird to me that people need to see a film critic and seeing what, and let me read what they think, and then I already have this preconceived notion of like what I'm gonna watch a movie that I haven't seen, but this critic said I liked it or not. Right? And so I've already decided whether I'm going to like something or not. Yeah. That's the biggest problem,
I think.
That
is prejudice. That is prejudging. That is literally what that is. It's
but
bad.
It's affected by everything you're seeing on Twitter or on the internet. That formulates your opinion instead of having your own opinion.
I think individuals have definitely hit that point you're talking about, Coy, where they can't differentiate between reality and fantasy. I think it happened when, like, Second Life or what was the other one? EverQuest Online or World of Warcraft launch, and people got really sucked into that. And you could even point to stuff in the 80s. There would be some Dungeons and Dragons groups that were really tight-knit and hardcore. And some people could tell you that when they played in the 80s or 90s or whatever, that they would then talk to their friend like, remember when we went to that play? Wait a minute. That didn't happen. Oh, crazy, man. Because you become so much a part of your experience.
Well, it's still hours of your life. So that's
it's
what I was trying to think about D&D and those things.
It's a shared experience. Yeah. You could meet a stranger on the street that you don't have anything in common with and then go, hey, do you love Star Wars? And then you have so much in like, it's a shared
comics,
experience.
That's how we know each other. I mean, reading the same things for 20 years is how you get to a point.
I think that it's already happened with many, many, many individuals, young people especially, with being inundated with so much content. But I think that the conversations that are sort of surrounding fandom right now are, I think, kind of better and healthier than the conversations surrounding fandom like 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, that I think as a whole, you kind of see a wave of people kind of recognizing some iffy stuff and going, let's try to not do that. Right. Let's try to enjoy and be positive and criticize things constructively. And, you know, let's try to not harass actors and let's try to not, you know what I mean?
And see people
making movements for that.
Do you think that as we evolve as a species in general, like, I think film criticism in general has changed too.
Big time.
And it should change,
big time.
Because did you guys see Paul Feig's tweet? About Last Christmas, I think Rolling Stone.
Oh,
nice.
He's the
nicest man.
I think
man.
Rolling Stone tweeted, a funny headline basically shitting on his movie. Like,
this is terrible.
It's like our one-star review. And then he said, oh, you know, we made this with a lot of love, and hopefully that one star is a really big star.
Yeah.
Which you're like, oh, you can't not like that guy.
That's
that guy's
very
awesome.
Sweet.
I know.
But yeah, but that would probably – that might change our perspectives too, right? Like, I myself have already changed the way I review movies because I feel like I don't want to give somebody my review. I can just be like, I liked it for this reason, and I can look at the positives, right? And not just the negatives.
I only talk about movies I like. If I didn't like a movie, you won't see me talk about it. And I won't, and if there's stuff I liked in the movie, you'll hear me talk about those things, but I don't like giving scores unless it's a positive score. I don't like giving reviews unless I liked more than most of it. Like,
I'm kind of with you on that.
Because it's just, and I don't like to like disparage someone else's art. At the end of the day, I've never made a movie, so any movie I've ever seen in my life is more than I have done.
Yes.
So at the end of the day, I might have read more comics than someone else, probably. But I haven't made a movie, so I don't feel like I'm in a position of judging it from that well. Like,
correct.
And also, you can't speak for somebody else's experience.
We
all have different experiences as to like how you're feeling in that moment, when you saw the movie you saw. Mm-hmm. Like, there's different experiences when you see something.
Any of my reviews of art positive or negative, all I ever do is try to talk about it from a personal experience. Yeah. Where I say, personally, this is why I felt this way. I had no choice but to feel this way. I walked in, sat down in a movie theater and watched a movie, and this is what I was thinking because I'm bringing my baggage, which is my personal life experience. Mm-hmm. And if it, even if it's something that is – where I will disagree with the take on a piece of art, or I might think that it was that other things could have happened in a different way or whatever. Like trying to say if it's like a negative review,
right.
Positive reviews, I agree with what you guys are saying. Share that in the world. That's great. Even if somebody comes up to me and go, Hector, what'd you think about this thing? And I know that I didn't love it. I will at least – I'll never be dismissive. I hate being dismissive. Mm-hmm. Years ago, I hated the thought of being like, oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
Oh, that thing sucked. No, it sucked.
And we all used to do it, right?
Absolutely.
We're like, this is shit.
Yeah, I mean, social media in a nutshell, right? I mean, it's just like you like something.
Character
and then,
limit. Sucked.
Right. And that's the one thing I never like when it comes to this discourse online, which is like you're wrong for your opinion.
Yeah. Right.
And it's like, no. I am not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can talk to me with respect, talk to me like, you know what, I disagree, here's why. Mm-hmm. But it's just this discourse that's continuing to happen and get worse and worse and worse is what I take great offense with.
Right. Well, and it's what you guys were talking about earlier too, that it's this weird ownership that I think we've all
– Yeah, the ownership of any brand, any
IP. Exactly, where it's like,
IP.
Oh, this is my movie or this is my – I own these characters. I'm like, no, you don't.
Yep.
And that's the thing that I've learned to live with, right? I used to hate the prequels. I still don't like them, but I'm not like – you know, trying to convince people that they're wrong for liking them.
It feels so much better. Like, I love liking everything. It's the thing I get the most crap for, but, like, my life just feels so much lighter and better than most probably is. Yeah. And, like, the worst part of my life is...
You can tell.
Well, yeah, the worst part of my life is seeing other people sad about not liking the things I liked. Like, the worst part is me just seeing them suffer.
I know. Yeah. Well, because I feel bad because somebody that's writing, no, you're wrong. You're such an idiot for not liking the same movie I like. I'm like, well, I wonder what's so wrong with that person's life that they're so sad about.
And I hate that I still read YouTube comments, but I know that those people are just suffering through so much.
Yeah, exactly.
Look away, Marianne. Yeah, I need to.
Maybe 2020 is the year I finally get healthy.
I don't do it. I can't.
I
love reading YouTube comments. They're my favorite. Yeah, they're so because they're just funny.
Yeah,
they're fucking funny.
You have Roxy sent us that one.
In your heart.
Oh yeah, somebody called me a fake goth, which I thought was great. Because then I'm like, you're right. I should go back to sucking real blood.
Yeah,
I really messed
you
that one
really
up.
You really watered down your goth, Darina.
My comic book shopping episode of Damon Lindelof, the amount of people that were like, the amount of people that made the exact same joke of like, you should have sold him Watchmen because he's clearly never read it. And I'm like, guys, if you're going to be dumb, scroll. Like, at least read other people making your joke.
I know.
I just like,
also,
it's,
like, dude gets it.
Dude gets Watchmen. Like, why did they make Watchmen political?
Right.
Because it was when we read it.
Like, just whoa.
That's why we all kind of liked it, I think. Right?
But anyway, news.
So news, Riley. What are we talking about?
All right, we got an exclusive. Let's start with this here because we have some comic book sweaties in the room with us.
Oh boy!
An exclusive from our own Jeff Snyder here at Collider. Up and coming actress Jamie Lawson, who recently graduated from Juilliard, she has landed a notable role alongside Robert Pattinson in The Batman. We don't know what that notable role is, but I think everybody might have some ideas.
What if she? So she's from Juilliard. What if she's a singer and The Batman is a musical? I would be so into that.
All right.
Yes.
Darina?
Just saying.
I think you're on to something.
Yeah.
So we don't know exactly what it is that she's going to be, the part she's going to play, but
do you guys think?
This movie has been, just from the little that I've heard about it, has been heading down the path of the most comic book accurate adaptation of Batman in a movie.
Ooh.
I think Matt Reeves.
Say more.
I think Matt Reeves really loves and gets the comic bookiness of Batman. And I love the Christopher Nolan movies. And I think the Christopher Nolan movies were an attempt to distance, to be like,
this is our realistic
exceed.
Batman.
This will transcend the genre. Whereas Matt Reeves is like, but I like Clayface and I like Killer Croc and I like Poison Ivy and I like Mr. Freeze and I like these really outlandish comic book concepts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And one of those is the Bat Family. And I think, he knows what he's got with an incredible Commissioner Gordon, who is played by Jeffrey Wright, who's black, if you didn't know. Mm. And I think
Gordon.
And I loved the teases to that in the Christopher Nolan movies.
Do you think
movies.
She's Barbara?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
That's what everyone thinks.
100%.
Let me tell you why. Because when you do that Batman-like timeline, when you do that Batman, like you crunch the numbers and you go, all right, this dude is 30 minimum. maybe 25, maybe 35 before he's like Batman. At what point does Robin enter the picture? And remember, he's got to be Nightwing at some point. Like, you know, he's got to be a kid, but not a child.
Right, exactly.
So you're like, is he 12? Is he 15? Mm-hmm. Is he 16? Then he adopts him as his ward. So then a couple years later, when he's like 19, he's like, Bruce, I'm done. I'm going to be Nightwing. Then you've got Batgirl, Barbara Gordon, in the mix, and she has to be Batgirl for all these characters are these characters for years, and then she becomes Oracle. And then you've got like Cassandra Cain, Batgirl, and then you've got, you know, oh my God, Jason Todd Robin, Tim goes into Tim Drake Robin, all that sort of like Batman math of like, and the
how many years that would take.
I think it's actually Batman.
The Batman of Bruce Wayne is Batman this whole time.
And that, like those kids have to die or move on.
Seriously, all of this stuff happens that I loved the tease in the Dark Knight trilogy where, what's his name, who played Gordon? Oh my God, Gary Oldman. He had a family, and it was like, cool, is that his kid? And we're looking in the house, we're like, oh my God, is that, was one of those kids going to be Batgirl?
The kid from Game of Thrones is like.
But it was like, he had like a son. And then he had like maybe an infant daughter, and you're thinking, man, it's going to take 15 years before she can put on a cowl. Like, what's this math, Christopher Nolan? What are you doing?
Well,
because he didn't care. He was never going to do that.
Right.
And I think that really quick, sorry to interrupt, but I think the Nolan movies were more so just a completely different type of Batman that
Absolutely.
We've seen, right? Which is cool because sometimes comic books don't translate. It's okay if they don't translate directly
to
film.
You've got to know what to leave on the page.
Right. We've seen some superhero movies where you do see these beautiful almost the scenes where they do look like comic books, right? But the cool thing, sometimes I just really love seeing somebody's different adaptation about a universe that I haven't seen.
One of my favorite
But
things.
It is cool that we're coming back to that now.
Just to say, I think this actress, her age, her look, her age, especially being like early years of college possibly or late years of high school, is the perfect age to introduce, okay, now Batman's going to start becoming active, because then to Barbara Gordon, a couple months into that, goes, wait, well, maybe I can. And then you have the beginnings of that. Matt Reeves, coming off of the Apes movies, I think, knows how to do the balance of very serious, great drama mixed with the ridiculousness and outlandishness of the Apes franchise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he really knew how to play with that. So I think he's going to be able that with you know, you got to turn your head and cough when you're handling that franchise, when you're handling the mythology, the ridiculousness.
You got to mind the Robins.
Really,
I think
the Robins makes the
pluck that.
There it is.
And you'll be able to have your, I think Matt Reeves has what is needed.
One of my favorite things about Batman is that since he's the eyeline for so much of the DC universe, he's us. He's the most human. He's the character that is righting the wrongs. And he's also kind of like, he's making choices we all think we'd make. He's making all the decisions that we want to think we'd do in that scenario. Mm-hmm. So one of the strengths, I think, of the character is that the director has such a stronger voice because his voice is your voice, as opposed to like Spider-Man. Like Spider-Man has extraordinary abilities. Even though he's the underdog of the MCU, he's still – I'll never know what it's like to climb a wall, unfortunately.
Of course.
But I can imagine what it's like to have $1 billion and punch like a homeless – not homeless. A home
sometimes
wrecker.
Sometimes homeless.
Sometimes homeless. But like a home burglar. There's the word. Yeah. Home invader. Yeah. Like I can imagine that scenario easier. So I think a director like Chris Nolan, like to me, those Dark Knight movies are Christopher Nolan's Batman.
Yes.
And to me, Zack Snyder's Batman. And
yes.
and those really
Batman.
Tie
right.
in more than a lot of superheroes. So I'm really excited that the cast of this, I can have all of the assumptions I want, but I have no idea what Matt Reeves' comic experience is like. Kind of like what we were just talking about.
Yeah.
You're so in the world, you assume it's yours.
Yeah.
But Matt Reeves, I only know I've loved all of his movies. I only know that I could not be more excited for Colin Farrell as Penguin. And I know that like –
and Paul Dano's Riddler. I'm dying to see that.
In Bruges –
Yes.
Colin Farrell's eyebrows should have won an Academy Award in Bruges. Just his eyebrows.
Which, by the way, somebody corrected me because I also called it in Bruges, but it's actually – how do you say it properly? Do you guys know?
In Bruges.
In Bruges?
Mm. Yes.
Oh. Is that real? Is for reals?
It is in Bruges.
Okay, because
so
they say it in the movie.
Say it that way
they do say
forward.
In Bruges.
Wow.
Well, no, I just read stuff in Spanish. So I was like, oh, in Bruges. Right?
But, in Bruges.
But in Bruges.
In Bruges.
In that film set in Belgium. Okay.
Guys,
the eyebrows.
Stop. I'm messing with you. That's not
it's
how you say
Bruges.
It.
It's definitely Bruges.
Goddamn, Hector, you got me.
I was going. I figured you were. I just wanted to lean into it. Oh, in Bruges.
God damn it, Hector. Good one.
I think it's
much fun. You're welcome back on the
in
show.
Bruges.
As much fun as it is to imagine these characters, even when we find out if she is Batgirl or Batwoman or not, I think it's really going to be really interesting to see what a brand new Batman is, what a brand new, especially since it's so recent we had one, and this is definitely a different take. Mm-hmm. I think Pattinson's fantastic. I've been excited for Pattinson. We've talked about it every time I see you. Yes. But I definitely, this is the most anticipated comic book movie for me coming from a place of total blindness.
Right.
Because it's such a different take. It could be almost anything, and the amount of villains would have terrified me at any point until now.
Right. And it's also bizarre to think about, you know, Batman was my favorite as a kid, but we've seen so many different iterations of him that I'm like, oh, like, we're getting another Batman movie? Like, when this was first announced, I was like, okay, I guess, like, at least Matt Reeves is cool, you know, I like his stuff, but every casting choice has only gotten me more and more excited for this. Like, I'm actually, this is, it's now becoming, like, my new Joker and superhero, like, anticipation that I have for all these movies, so.
And Juilliard, that's so cool. I love that it's an unknown that is clearly talented, and I love when these movies have the ability to cast your Colin Farrell, Paul Dano, Robert Pattinson, and then they give someone a chance to be a titan. Yeah. Like, this girl is coming out of Juilliard, clearly talented, and now she gets to be a movie star from the jump.
That's pretty cool.
Good for her.
So what else we got, Ryan?
I don't know. Do you want to still keep talking about this Martin Scorsese Marvel shit?
No,
can
I don't.
Can I say something?
Cody, okay. That soundbite is exactly how I feel.
Thank you, Cody.
Well, we went a whole total of 3 days without hearing about frickin' Martin Scorsese again.
That's only because it was the weekend.
You know what my thoughts are on this? What? It's that gif of Tommy Lee Jones and The Fugitive. Where he's like,
I don't care.
That's what I think about this.
But even that character, Tommy Lee Jones in The Fugitive, cares more about Richard Kimball killing his wife, yay or nay, than I care about this. So I can't even use that. That's not even accurate. Because I really don't care at all.
You could show me a video of Martin Scorsese crapping on a stack of Blu-rays of the entire Marvel Cinematic Universe, and I'd be like, well...
Still my favorite franchise.
That's his.
Yeah. I'm like, I still enjoy all of your work and all the work you just shit on.
And that's right.
Yeah.
Because he can shit on wherever he wants.
He does. Anyone can, but especially Martin Scorsese.
Martin Scorsese can shit anywhere he wants.
I'm also so exhausted. See, now the tired kicking in. I'm so exhausted about people. I got my coffee. People asking people that are doing their own work what they think. Like, if I'm promoting a film, I'm proud of it. I put a year or five of my life into it. The last thing I want is for you not only ask about my work, ask about the opinion of someone else's work about work I also didn't do. Yeah. It is ridiculous.
Well,
so let's talk about it.
Kevin Feige finally chimed in.
Sure.
And
what did he say?
On.
He disagrees?
Do you want to?
No.
He said it's
Are we moving on, Cody?
I think that's not true. I think it's unfortunate. I think myself and everyone who works on the movies loves cinema, loves movies, loves going to the movies, yada, yada, yada. We did Civil War. We had our two most popular characters get into a very serious theological and physical altercation. We killed half of our characters at the end of the movie in Avengers Infinity War. I think it's fun for us to take our success and use it to take risks and go into different places. And there's an even bigger quote down here, but you get the gist. Okay. I think it's
so he's defending
them. Kevin Feige, you defend it.
Well, yeah.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Cody.
Talk about Star Wars.
Yes! All right, we honored Martin Scorsese. We honored him by saying it. Now we can move on.
Yes, we talked about it, you guys.
Hey, let me throw this out at you because I haven't gotten your take on this. This James Dean coming back from the dead in a movie.
You guys hate it too, right?
Bad idea, yeah.
Okay, good.
It's amongst the worst ideas.
Yes, thank you. Good.
I am absolutely
Roxy's like pissed off right now. She doesn't know why.
It's despicable. It's not only disrespectful to filmmaking, it's disrespectful to James Dean, and it's disrespectful to every single actor alive.
Then how did you feel about Tarkin?
That was a character that could only be played by him. That's different.
Like, that's what I'm curious.
That's an homage. That is love. That's acknowledging something that's irreplaceable. That's acknowledging a character that is so important and irreplaceable.
Yeah, this isn't like
James Dean's career.
Rebel Without a Cause 2.
Right. And it's also James Dean. He's such a figure and he's such an icon. Yeah. And I don't want his IMDb to have an asterisk. I don't want this movie to have an asterisk. I don't want 100 actors that auditioned for it to be like, I guess I wasn't good enough to be not a corpse. Like, it's all gross.
It's just the biggest thing is that it's so unnecessary, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to do something like that, honor, you know, and you want to honor a bunch of dead celebrities that way, then make it a special. Like, do something where you're celebrating their lives. Like, that person, whoever plays James Dean in a hologram or whatever, whatever CG they use, that's not James Dean.
Right.
It's not the
I like the Tupac hologram. because it was doing a thing that honored Tupac. And I don't like all the details of it. And I don't like if 100% of the money went to the Shakur Foundation or went to one of the causes he believed in, because he was so charitable and so philanthropic. And words are gone. But all the things Tupac did, that's one thing. But this isn't going to benefit James Dean. It's not going to benefit anything he did. It's using his name and sullying it.
Yeah. It's
gross.
It's like really just – it's like worse than like bad fan art.
Yeah. So when I read to you Finding Jack director is surprised at the backlash over this.
Are you serious? I mean,
yeah. For casting dead James Dean, I said immediately, it's like, because one of the original quotes was, we searched far and wide and realized that the it's like, did you search far and wide?
No.
Because a dead guy got the job that many actors out there could probably be right for, because, you know, here we are. So here's his quote, I can't with this. Naturally, there was a huge backlash. Ernst was apparently caught off guard. He told THR, we don't really understand it. We never intended this for it to be a marketing gimmick.
What else is it? What else is?
Like, this is literally how you're getting people to watch your movie. That's all. Right. Like, nobody's going to care about the movie otherwise. Yeah,
James Dean's not in the movie, and you're going to call it James Dean blank. Like, it's literally just a –
also,
gross.
How would he be credited in the movie? Like, what would
James
it say?
James Dean with an asterisk.
Special appearance.
Is that literally what
James
it would be?
I don't know. I think that they are literally going to say it's James Dean, which is
– starring James Dean?
Is absolutely
they
wrong.
They should say starring zombie James Dean.
I can't.
In fact, they should have zombie James Dean, and I would watch it.
They didn't put Tupac on the billing. Like, I'm going back to the Pac thing because that's as close as I can get to the one version I found kind of acceptable. Because
it's also
hologram.
And it's also at a live concert where it's just like a one in a million thing. You know, you're never going to see that again.
And the voice
or you get
Tupac
it on YouTube.
Because it's a song.
Right.
And like, it's not like James Dean recorded. If James Dean had recorded lines for a movie and they wanted to edit that into something else, like they've done 100 times.
Correct,
add
a body double from a different thing, so it's like you kind of preserve the performance that he did make.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not here.
This is
like
he
didn't get to do it. So you're going to put somebody, an actor or just a body double or whatever it is, you're going to face swap or do the deep fake, whatever it may be. Ernst, the producer here, continued telling THR, we will take every precaution to ensure his legacy as one of the most epic film stars to date is kept firmly intact. The family views this as his fourth movie, a movie he never got to make. We do not intend to let his fans down.
This is my Scorsese moment.
Did you just
this
get
is
muted?
What,
Cody
this
Cody
is
muted,
what you'll hear
Mark.
Me yelling it out muted. For the next 6 months if this happens.
Thank
this
you,
is my
Cody.
Scorsese stance. It's despicable. It's gross. Don't do it. His fourth movie.
No, it's not his fourth movie.
Bad idea.
It's not his fourth movie.
It's gross.
So moving on,
so
because
that happened.
We all agree. We're actually – Cody, can we open up the phone lines?
Yeah.
Sure.
Thank you.
He's like anything but
he's
these
like
two
anything
topics.
But this. And we're only going to take Scorsese questions. I'm kidding. Please, no Scorsese questions.
Please no.
You ask about anything you want. You want to talk nerd stuff. You want to talk simulations. Like, feel free to let us know when somebody's on the line. Cody, please.
Somebody's going
to
be like, hey, it's me. I'm the director of Finding Jack. Just listen to you guys.
Great.
And,
let's talk. Let's talk. What? Why?
Please help us understand anything.
I would like to have a conversation with him.
I would too. I would ask, why do you feel the need to do this?
That's just money.
It's just – it is. And, well, when they say it wasn't a marketing gimmick –
James Franco's played James Dean. The great kid from Chronicle played James Dean. People can
Dane
play.
DeHaan.
What's his
DeHaan.
Name? He's so good.
You can honor this person.
He was my favorite
person.
Part of Spider-Man 2.
That's we got to talk off air.
Or not two. Amazing Spider-Man.
It,
what
I
was, two. It was
Amazing
two, right?
Spider-Man 2. Yeah. I'd give that to Emma Stone.
Yeah,
she was
her
great
relationship
too.
Was the only
but
merit.
I liked him as Harry Osborn. Not just, when he turned into the actual
I'm
Green
just
Goblin.
Over
but
Harry Osborn. I'm just over Harry.
But he's a good actor, so I like his portrayal.
Sure.
That's what I meant. Yeah.
But the character, I was like,
I think we got to get to that. Like, we got to earn it. It's got to be like Spider-Man 5 or 7.
Yeah.
Like, you got to get there.
I have a question for you guys. If you could make a movie out of any comic book character, which one would you pick? Like, what are you dying to see that you haven't seen?
Oh, great question. So something that hasn't been done yet.
I mean, or if you want to reboot it, right? If it's,
gotcha.
Can I make a sequel?
Sure.
Man of Steel 2!
Yay!
Oh,
there you go. Mark wins.
There you go.
Mark wins again.
Another Superman film, yeah. What would who would be the villain?
Hector's like, thank you for your...
Seriously.
I did a Riley Roundtable with Jason Inman, and we thought Bizarro for Man of Steel 2.
Interesting.
Because if you play off the themes of Man of Steel...
Is it also Luther?
And Luther
because,
as well.
Because Bizarro has to be cloned at this point, right? You're not making it from Bizarro world. He's got to be just like a degenerating clone.
And if okay. I remember correctly, it's like to play on the themes that Man of Steel did, which is like he wasn't Superman. He let all the buildings fall down and hurt people in this. And that just as the world is getting back to trust this man, here comes
evil
Bizarro.
Superman.
Evil Superman
it.
Comes.
It's a great call.
And then it causes everybody to question. And, you know, Clark Kent is like, well, that's not – actually me, but the you know being in the world of social media and the media would be like
That'd
no
be
that is him
yeah, right.
And you can play those themes out within it, and then it sets up the third movie, which would be entitled Last Son, and it's Brainiac as a villain.
I was gonna say I thought you were gonna say Brainiac at first
because no,
that would be my pick.
I like
okay.
that trajectory
yeah,
I thought that was,
me too.
That's really smart.
What about you, Koi?
I don't think we've ever gotten an X-Men movie, so I'd like one of those.
Ooh,
okay.
Snap.
shots fired
damn,
you hear that, Bryan Singer?
Yeah.
Read a comic book, yeah. Brian.
He's busy on some
whatever.
Some children.
Do you guys
think
not
that,
like any of the X-Men movies?
No.
I think they're good mutant movies. They're not X-Men movies.
But yeah, but which one? Like you have
here's,
one that you love that you
first
rewatch?
Class?
Here's
X-Men First Class is the closest to being an X-Men movie, but it was
know,
so sullied by Bryan Singer.
This is what Koi is describing.
What
the
about
thing,
Logan?
The thing you described, Logan is amazing.
Yeah.
And we have
yeah.
to say that before John Rucka busts in here like the Kool-Aid man.
No, because it's so good.
Bust through this thing like,
I fucking love
like,
it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
No,
when he says Logan, when he busts in.
Logan.
Here's the deal. Logan is amazing. Logan makes me cry.
Mm-hmm.
I love that movie.
Mm.
Every one of the movies done by Fox – maybe with the exception of the Deadpools, but even then, the Deadpools are pretty spot on. Like you described earlier, whether you like Batman or love him or dislike him, you can pull something from each Batman movie.
Mm-hmm.
You're totally right. But what you also described is we're all compromising mm-hmm. as fans. No one particular project nails it wholly, 100%.
Right.
So you're pulling this from this and this from this. Well, I like this Bruce Wayne and I like this Batman and I like this. All of the X-Men movies are movies first
mm-hmm.
before they are adaptations of the source material.
Mm-hmm.
And not just with things like costumes and powers and characters, but I mean like themes, like thematically.
Yeah.
They're not about anything.
Right.
They're about the same group of superpowered characters that have superpowers.
And they care about so much.
But I disagree on at least the Charles Eric relationship. I think that was my favorite part of the movies. And,
yes.
And it's why I love the X-Men comics so much growing up.
Especially McAvoy Fassbender.
Yes.
They're fantastic. Their acting is...
It's perfect.
The best part of Fast.
But I
yes.
want
Fast.
Malcolm X, Martin Luther King. I want
Correct.
The story that I want
Correct.
The nuance as like the acting is incredible and what they brought to it is incredible. They never got the writing or the length of it with seven movies. They somehow never got the length of
mm-hmm.
exposure
mm-hmm.
to make the X-Men movies. And I don't think going about it by having the team already assembled and all these things is the way to do it. I think they should right. start young. I
yeah.
think they should actually have a school. I think
and
you could easily make this a 20 movie franchise or a very expensive show. I'd love to see it in the big screen because I'm a big screen guy.
The proof is that Fassbender was in each one of those X-Men movies.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And Magneto as a character is very vital to the X-Men mythos.
Yes.
But like they were thinking about, well, how do we bring back Fassbender
right.
versus what's the story dictate? What
yeah.
does the story need? If this story is Apocalypse, let's focus on En Sabanur. Let's focus on Oscar Isaac's
right.
character. But they were like, well, how do we bring in Eric? We have to bring – because it's Fassbender.
That was my favorite part of Apocalypse.
Jennifer Lawrence.
Though.
She's so great.
But
we
they're more worried about their elements than they are about the comic elements or the story elements that matter to the comic elements that get you to caring about
mm-hmm.
Magneto. It rested on Fassbender
right.
being incredible, which he is.
Yes.
So but that was my joke answer. But in reality, since we already have two great Deadpool – or one half great
yeah.
Deadpools, I think having an X-Force movie be separate from canon
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
give us the team movie that is action-based, that does already have established characters, that does
right.
do all that, and then have your X-Men be a separate continuity. I personally,
okay.
I don't think Deadpool as he stands would fit with the X-Men as I do them. So I wouldn't mind having an X-Force movie be your action team up like a Joe Carnahan style, like very intense,
Ooh.
And then have the X-Men in like 4 or 5 years be a – not Harry Potter, but be young and grow into them. Like I don't want a super young X-Men, but I don't think Deadpool is the right –
What? Why is it tonally that you don't think Deadpool fits?
X-Force allows for all the benefits of an X-Men movie with the Deadpool stamp, with
okay.
the violence, the R-rated, the actual killing, without them making the X-Men feel like they're sullying the name of the X-Men.
I
don't kill; they represent they defend a world that hates and fears them.
Right.
The whole beauty of Deadpool is that he doesn't know
right.
what he stands
he's
for.
He's the complete opposite.
He's his
of
own
that.
Thing.
Yeah.
So if you introduce X-Men through them, your Deadpool is going to sully them, much like Bryan Singer did.
Right.
And I don't want Deadpool.
Or,
to become the Bryan Singer of the
or
X-Men
it could
universe.
Make for an interesting sequel, right, where they meet meet there and like, and that's that would be a fascinating story.
Yeah.
To have the anti-hero trying to convince the mutants that are.
And that was the Colossus fun. But I think X-Force is cake and eating it too, because you can make a John Wick movie with Deadpool, which they kind of did, but with Team. And then X-Men should be. X-Men should lean on the themes of today because, in my opinion, in 2019, X-Men are arguably never as important tonally as they've been since the 60s.
Agreed.
Yeah, everything we're dealing with is
the X-Men. Let the youth lead the way. If I'm going DC, I'm going to go Booster Gold.
Ooh.
Time traveler, comedic character.
Love that.
That's what something that the DC universe needs in film level.
Mm.
With maybe a close second would be Plastic Man, starring Ben Schwartz.
Oh, that's perfect.
That. Yep.
Oh.
Ben Schwartz would be perfect that. For
if
that.
If I'm going Marvel, I would do a Nova movie starring Sam Alexander. I love Michael
Who's
Peña
Sam Alexander?
And Ant-Man. Sam Alexander is a character in Marvel Comics who is half Mexican, half white.
Okay.
And he lives in Arizona. And he learns that his father, who he thought was a deadbeat dad and ran off, was actually a member of the Nova Corps.
Ooh.
And is like on a prison – like in the space. And so some members of the Guardians of the Galaxy come down and tell this teenage kid, hey, your dad is actually not a deadbeat dad. Like, he's part of the Nova Corps and he left you this helmet. So then he finds his helmet, puts on the helmet, and then becomes superpowered, becomes a, you know, goes out into space and fights with the Guardians of the Galaxy, joins the Nova Corps, has cool space adventures.
Oh, I like this.
So that
I
is a
that.
Cool teen perspective of the space world that we haven't seen in the MCU yet, coupled with love Michael Peña in the Ant-Man movies, but up to this point, he's the most prominent like Latino character in the movies outside of actors, because Zoe Saldana is great, but she's Gamora. Mm-hmm. And Tessa Thompson's great, but she's an Asgardian.
Mm-hmm.
So this character could be, oh, no, I'm a Mexican hero
and
the lead and not like the supporting
like
character.
Like a Miles Morales type.
Correct. And that's something that the MCU could do before. Yeah, I mean, they it's in their hands and they should do it because, you know, we're getting Ms. Marvel and She-Hulk and everybody else.
Cool. Yeah. Why don't they consult us nerds when they come up with these
Because
ideas?
Oftentimes we're wrong.
Yeah, that's true.
Most of the time we have bad ideas.
It's the being too tied to the source material thing. If they go to literally the people that are just doing that, it's probably dangerous to be like, but you changed the... And
then you get too nerdy about it.
Live chat, I think they should have a team of young X-Men but also have OGs. I think that the school should be a fairly established school.
Mm.
I think Jim Lee era for the OG age... And or just do the like literally the all new X-Men, not the time travel, but bring in giant size X-Men and have it be the five OGs meet the new team and it expands. But
I like that.
I think having them already established a little bit, not origin.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
Well, we would like to take some calls. Cody, anyone on the line? Oh, there we go. You're on Collider Live. Welcome to Nerd Talk. Who are you?
Hi, I'm Wesley from Los Angeles.
Hey there.
Hi, you're here. How's it going?
Good. I've been really enjoying the show so far. I'm glad that you guys were able to make it your own.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. That's
really sweet. Appreciate that.
So I had a question for Hector. When are they going to add that organization thing to the watch list, man?
No kidding, dude.
Thank you for your call.
Great question. Disney Plus. I'm such a OCD person that I started adding things to my watch list, my queue on Disney Plus. Added The Mandalorian first and then some shows and then this and that. Mm-hmm. And then I go to my watch list and I'm like, okay, let me just move these around in alphabetical order. Wait, I can't.
Oh.
That's driving me bonkers. Which is also
that
on Disney Plus.
Also
that was a great show too.
Mad.
Bonkers was a great show. But that, but like it's
straight
because I'm like, well, I want to organize this somewhat. Like I want to put the sort of Disney afternoon shows together, and I want to, you know, I'm like, I want to put Mandalorian over an S with Star Wars, and I want to put the Marvel things in Marvel.
So you
and,
can't catalog
no,
the
dude.
Things the way you
nope.
want.
It's just floating. It's chaos.
Chaos. Well, there's I mean, there's bugs. You know, this thing didn't, it didn't work for me for however many hours. I mean, I'm sure that hopefully for you and
they'll fix it.
They'll fix.
Well, that's one of the many things I have in common with the Joker, which is chaos. That's like I don't like chaos. That's the one thing.
Oh.
Yeah, there you go. So I'm OCD too.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah. Be $1 billion by next week. I think like by this weekend it'll be $1 billion.
Well, but we'll never know.
It's close.
Oh, that movie? I thought you were talking about Disney Plus.
We'll never know. What are numbers?
They won't tell us.
How many views? Who knows?
Who cares?
Which, by the way, I saw it again last night. I was telling Hector about it because I know you weren't as big of a fan as I was.
Sure.
And I'm still obsessed with it. I'm obsessed with it even more. So there you go. They got my money. I'm giving them all the billions.
You're the reason it's going to hit
exactly.
Now, when it comes
1 billion.
Are you getting Blu-ray or are you just going to wait for HBO Max where it will be their launch day?
I am trying to really continue my physical media collection because there's movies out there. Like, I'm getting worried about all the Fox stuff. Like, I need to
they're
make sure
up.
I
yep.
like
I know.
All the
I need
alien
to go get the
stuff,
aliens
like,
and Predators and
yeah,
Fight Club.
I'm worried
and
about that. So.
It's like the movies that they're going to get, like, that are the like Fight Club.
Yeah.
Is one of those that I really worry.
Yeah. Plus,
if you can't have that Blu-ray.
Four audio commentaries.
I'll take
four separate
ones,
and all of them are incredible watches. There's not a dry commentary on the list.
And even Avatar, which is on Disney Plus, somebody found and they pointed out, they're like, wait, they have an audio track for Avatar on Disney Plus that is like removed some swears. So it's like a family-friendly audio track. And I'm like, this is like watching a movie on a plane.
Yeah.
That drives me insane.
Come on, you're being ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. But again, if you're the consumer and you're that upset and you have a right to be about that thing, go buy Avatar on DVD or Blu-ray. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like that, you've got to make that choice.
Right.
You have to put in that little data at Target where they go, boop, boop, oh, we sold another Avatar Blu-ray. That's weird. We're selling a little bit more.
Yeah.
Just put something out there.
Yeah,
man.
But don't make somebody change content just to please you, because because the content was made for a reason.
Foolish.
The way it is. So
I
say
vote with your wallet, so buy things like that you want to support.
And we got another call, Cody?
Yeah.
You're on Collider Live. How are you? Who are you?
Doing good. This is Cam from Mississippi.
Hey, Cam.
Hey, Cam.
A couple of things. One, in order to encourage Coley continuing to be a human exclamation point, can we please get a soundbite from Metal Gear Solid for the alert notification every time he pops
really
up?
That's really funny.
Yes! I love that, because I could just see his face and that sound going together, and it works.
Yeah.
As long as I have a cardboard box I can sneak under as well.
The exclamation point will be for the three of us when we get caught off guard.
Exactly.
Yeah. Koi starts going on. Yeah. We're like, bring!
Yeah.
How did he make this about mushrooms again?
Or,
hey!
Oh.
Oh, that feels so right. That's so warm and fuzzy.
I think we need a soundbite for all of us.
That's
like,
great.
Like Tricks Director over here telling us about how to say Imbruges properly.
It's Imbruges.
Imbruges.
Definitely a Star Wars sound effect. And what a goth sound like as an exclamation.
Oh, that's right.
You need an element.
Thundercrack.
Just metal. Probably.
Yeah, I respect it.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. I'm looking up at just voice. Thank you.
Thank you, God.
God, I am an exclamation
God's
point.
Name
I've done
is,
it.
God's name is Cam, apparently.
God lives in Mississippi.
God lives in Mississippi.
We got another call, Cody?
Not right now, Derek.
Oh, I don't know what's going on back
there.
There we go.
Are.
You're on Collider Live. Who are you? How are you?
Holy shit.
Hey.
Hello, holy shit.
I agree.
Hi, this is Anthony from Queens.
Hey, Anthony.
What's up, Anthony?
You got a question for us?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, first off, I want to thank all you guys, because yesterday I had a surgery, and I listened to you guys before I went in, and you guys totally relaxed me because I was really, really nervous.
Aww. Well,
dude, that means the world to hear. Thank you for that. I'm glad everything went well.
How are you feeling?
Oh, it went well. You know, having a little below the waist troubles, and now it's all better.
Okay,
good for you. Great.
I'm glad it went well. Do you have a question for us?
Yeah. Earlier, you guys were talking about, you know, the Batman and Robert Pattinson and everything. And I remember when they first cast him, I was really trepidatious about it because I didn't like him as an actor because of the whole Twilight thing. But then Harlech was talking about, you know, Good Time and how I should watch that because the performance is really good. So I watched it, and I was totally amazed. I just went like a 180 on Robert Pattinson, and I watched all his post-Twilight movies, and I really dug them.
Yes.
So I was wondering, like, have you guys ever, like, had an actor who you didn't really like their performances in movies, and you didn't think that they were, like, you know, as good as they could be, but then you saw one performance and then you did like a total 180 on them?
It's a fantastic question.
Great question.
Great question. Thank you so much, and glad you're feeling better.
Yeah, thank you, Anthony. I kind of felt like that a little bit for Scarlett Johansson. Mm. I thought that she was fine actress. I thought that she was unfortunately typecast in a lot of roles that are like, she's a beautiful young woman. She's hot. She's a sexy young – so a lot of world – and even with like Iron Man 2, I was like, it's not a great introduction to the character. You know, it's just kind of a tricky – like she's changing in the backseat of a car.
Can I do something? Right
yeah, what are you? What is it?
I'm just adjusting your nerd.
Okay, thank you. Thought I had something on my face.
Goth nerd team.
I have something on my face. But then I watched Spike Jonze's Her. And I really appreciated how it was such a stripped down performance because visually you do not see her.
Mm-hmm.
So it's literally the performance and the voice. And I thought that she did a phenomenal job.
Yes.
And kind of since then I've been like, she's really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
She knows what she's doing. So that's one that I sort of, you know, changed my opinion on, which is cool.
I'm so glad you brought that up because I felt the exact same way. And I love Her. I think it's one of the most underrated sci-fi movies we've gotten in recent times. It's a beautiful movie. I love the way L.A. looks. It's the story. It just – you basically basically believe that he's in love with this character. You know, it's really fantastic, and it's really her voice that helps, other than Joaquin's performance, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, I don't know. What about you guys? I'm trying to think.
Matthew McConaughey, I always wanted to like, and I love Dazed and Confused, and I love his early work, but he did so many rom-coms that I just not only. I like rom-coms, but I knew he was better than his performances. It just felt like it was me something getting through. So I kind of like loved and then lost. So then this reconnaissance when you know, Lincoln Lawyer came out, and when Wolf of Wall Street.
True Detective.
There was this like 5-year span where it felt like I fell in love and like validated. Yeah. So
and you're like, all right, all right.
I was like, all right, all right.
You get it.
All right. So yeah, for me, God, I love this. So for me, it was McConaughey version 2.
Okay. What about you, Mark?
It keeps coming to the head. Stay in the Batman universe. Ben Affleck.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
When he was cast as Batman, a lot of people were, you know, there it is. And he's turned into one of my favorites.
There's a universe.
He's just awesome.
There's a universe where if all of the sort of stars aligned and everything was kind of different, where Ben Affleck would have been playing Batman for 11 years, like Robert Downey Jr. Iron Man.
Yeah.
I guarantee
100%.
It.
I'm a little bummed that it's not happening.
He could have inhabited that role to the level that Robert Downey did. And if those projects had been as well received and successful as the Iron Man early, you know, and into the MCU and beyond, we could have had a movie, you know, in 2027 where Batman sacrifices himself fighting Darkseid. Along all of, you know what I mean? And it would have been Affleck, and we all would have been crying. We'd have been like,
I completely agree with that, Hector. It's funny because, like I said earlier, I was not into the casting at all.
Sure.
And then I saw it, and it's whatever you think of him as Batman. To me, he's the best physical fighter Batman that we've had. Like the way, like those scenes in BVS, like he looks like a badass. Like
his
he looks like
that,
I pictured
that
warehouse
it
in the comic
is,
book, reading
is
it as a
poetry.
Kid. Yes, yes.
I like how big he looked in the suit.
Yeah,
dude was big, just in the Bruce Wayne suit. Where I was like, that's a big boy.
Yeah,
where he's just in the elevator, like going to talk to Alfred.
And that felt like Bruce Wayne because you're like that guy is trying to hide under a suit, which is what that character is.
Yeah.
And his training montage is one of my favorite superhero scenes. Like him and the chain. Yeah, the chains.
It's so silly.
It's also how Batman would train. He'd train with practical things. Yes. He wouldn't just be on a bench. He'd use a bench, but also chains and practical. Mm-hmm. He'd want to work on his lats and his traps so he could swing better.
Yes, agreed. We're getting really nerdy here, you guys.
I love it.
I guess my answer would be surprising to many, which is Leonardo DiCaprio.
No, that's fair.
It's really weird.
Another
but
sort of rom-com-y kind of a heartthrob.
The
it's a heartthrob.
Well, it's not.
Growing
it wasn't
pains,
that
bad
so much.
First impression.
It was exactly. It was more so it's like he's always been a good actor, but I've always seen him as Leonardo DiCaprio in every movie. Mm-hmm, I couldn't. Mm-hmm. I was like, "That's the actor, right?" I would never like focus on the character until I saw Django.
Yeah,
and I was like, "Holy crap!"
Yeah, he's incredible.
He's incredible in that. And then it happened again in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, where he completely like I forgot I was watching him.
Yeah, he was great.
Have you retroactively enjoyed his work more? Have you seen any of the stuff you didn't like?
Especially with movies like The Aviator, mm-hmm. you know, or Catch Me If You Can.
Yeah,
you know, but these like more recent performances of his have been really crazy.
Let me throw something out there. I rewatched the first Iron Man with some friends last night.
Mm.
Still holds up. It's great. But we're talking about the whole MCU, and we spent the whole time kind of fan casting certain characters that haven't shown up in the new Marvel movies. And my buddy, Mark David Christensen, he turns to us and he goes, how about this? He goes, this is crazy. Leonardo DiCaprio, Norman Osborn.
Ooh.
And I was like, hello.
Yes.
I was like,
but then you bring back Dane DeHaan as Harry.
No, you cannot bring him back.
I know. He's so mad about Harry.
They do look just alike, so that's funny. But literally, Dane DeHaan is young Leo in my brain. I'm like, wait, no.
But DiCaprio would crush that.
Yes, he
incredible.
Would.
I've always had Tom Hanks for that.
For Norman Osborn? No. Hanks is
Tom
Uncle
Hanks
Ben.
Isn't
villain. No, that's the beauty of it.
Uncle Ben.
Norman Osborn leads a giant multinational company, is elected president. He's got to be likable to your face.
But he's too likable.
But that's the beauty of it. Yeah. When he betrays you, when you find out Green Goblin is Norman Osborn, it's got to feel like a betrayal.
Here's
if there's no betrayal, it doesn't work.
Cody wants to take another car, right, Cody?
I don't know why I don't buy Tom Hanks physically as the supervillain, the Green Goblin, riding around on a glider, but I somehow will buy Leonardo DiCaprio, who's like very soft and very well fed and very happy,
and
like,
very comfortable in Malibu,
running around with a water
gun.
I'm like, that guy, he could get ripped.
He could throw a goblin.
No,
he cannot throw a goblin.
Whatever. If Michael Keaton can fly around, then Leonardo DiCaprio.
Michael Keaton can do everything, though.
He can.
Yes. Anyways, Cody, do we have another call?
There it is.
Oh, you're on Collider Live. How are you? Who are you?
Hi, this is Stephanie from Ohio.
Hey, Stephanie. How's it going?
Somewhere Roxy is screaming the V word.
Yeah, I know. I never get in when Roxy's here.
I know, right? She'll be back Thursday.
Sorry. This is Roxy. Right. They're not in the same place.
The voice is very deep. Hello?
Do you think Netflix IPs are strong enough to keep them afloat, or do you think Netflix, with this whole streaming wars, will have to sell eventually?
Oh, interesting question.
That's a good question.
Thank you, Stephanie. What do you guys think?
Yeah, they don't have their own their licensed properties anymore, with like Daredevil and Jessica Jones, and everybody's gone now. So we have what? Stranger Things.
But
and
is she talking
Ozark
about
Ozark?
Right. Yeah. What?
I think there's room in the market now that we have so many, you know, streaming wars. Yes, it's happening, but I will continue to watch Ozark. If they continue to put out quality storytelling, mm-hmm. I'm gonna watch it. I think it'll be fine. I mean, I think we're talking a lot about how, you know, the internet just broke because a new Star Wars TV show came out.
Right. Yeah.
So it's interesting.
I mean, out of all the original content that we've gotten from Netflix, what's your guys' favorite that you want to keep getting immersed in that world?
Shit. It's probably Glow. And I'm really glad they're getting a fourth and final season. Glow really, really impressed me. But I also – just the dork in me. I really do enjoy Stranger Things every season. I know some people are like, should have been only one season. I'm like, I like them.
I'm with you.
It's nostalgia done right because it's remixed and new enough – that it's not just, hey, look, we're doing this movie. Hey, look, we're doing this movie. There's little things here and there where I'm like, okay, I see what you're doing. But I think this is a fantastic question. I think it's so, so good. And I was thinking about it just now. I honestly don't know if I can answer, only because I don't know what the ratings are on all of these things, man. These companies are not releasing the ratings, the views, the clicks. So I don't know how well Ozarks versus, you know, Stranger Things versus like their old content, like reruns of Friends or Star Trek The Next Generation do on Netflix. I don't know what is keeping them afloat. I don't know how well I don't know how many millions of people saw The Mandalorian.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Couldn't watch it.
Yeah. I live in the L.A., you know, entertainment people who talk about entertainment bubble. So I can never have a good grasp on like what the normal – you know, how's everything performing around the world to regular people? I don't know, because every one of my friends and myself included, we're on it. We're on the new thing. So I can't even, you know, I don't know.
I feel like Netflix is going to become a different animal post Disney Plus. Yeah. I feel like the price is going to get a little lower, and I think they're going to keep making original content, but I think they're going to focus more on bolder content, because I love Disney. But at the end of the day, Disney's making very safe choices because they can. They have so much infrastructure.
Right. Yep.
They have so much content. I think because of that, and I think this is a great thing, it's the anti-monopoly. Because of this zeitgeist shift, it's going to turn into Netflix making bolder choices, giving more creatives more creative freedom, making bigger things. Love, Death, and Robots shouldn't exist.
Right.
Ozark shouldn't exist. Stranger Things shouldn't be as good as it is.
Glow.
And my favorite show on it is Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. Mm-hmm. I watch Netflix for documentaries and for comedian specials.
Is that produced by Netflix?
It was Crackle, and then Netflix bought it. Now it's a higher production value, and they produce it. But I like content like Comedians in Cars or like most stand-up specials. None of that would exist on Disney.
Right.
So I think they can cohabitate, but I do think that Netflix is going to drop their price at some point to compete. And I do think that I hope that means more comedy out of Netflix. I hope it becomes like what Comedy Central was before it completely sold out.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I mean, because everything is cyclical, right? And depending on what's going on in the world as to like what type of art we get. Do you guys think that Netflix could go back to even just – again, even producing physical media, right? Like, I'm thinking like that.
They still do, technically.
I mean, can you still get DVDs from Netflix? Really?
You can.
Yes, I have that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Nuh-uh.
I use it
the
time.
Okay.
I do Netflix DVD through
that.
The mail. It is dope.
Really?
Because everything that's not – every movie or TV show that's not streaming on Netflix, if it came out on DVD, you put it in your queue and it'll be here in a couple days.
Right.
And I have so much content that I'm not rushing to be like, but I got to see Men in Black 2 now. I'm like – and by the way, that's even streaming. So then I watched it, but then they sent me Men in Black 3 in the mail, and they're going to send me Men in Black International, which I haven't seen yet, on a DVD. And it's fine. I can take my time with it.
Yeah,
it's
cool.
A great investment. I need it because I have a movie podcast. Some of those movies are hard to get.
Mm-hmm.
So the movie will come in and be like, okay, Koi, we're watching, you know, Lethal Weapon 1 or whatever.
Right.
Not that I didn't already have that on Blu-ray.
I mean, of course.
I was
going
to say.
I did.
That should be on your collection regardless.
I have that on VHS, DVD,
I know.
A-Track, and
you're wearing a shirt underneath your shirt.
That is
Lethal
Weapon.
What about Beta?
Not A-Track. What's the one, the video?
Laser disc.
Yeah, laser disc. I don't even have a laser disc player. I had to.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think Netflix is in the most precarious shape because they don't have HBO's back library. They don't have Amazon's it's a shipping company.
Right.
They don't have any of those things. So I think Netflix is going to have to change their infrastructure more than Amazon or maybe HBO or any of those things.
And there's all those smaller shows that I love, like Sex Education. I don't know if you guys have seen it, right? But that's the type of content that I'm looking for that's completely different from any of the franchise content that we're used to. So if they focus on that, they could continue succeeding.
I won't find Bill Burr on Disney Plus, so no. I know I'm going to be a Netflix guy.
Correct.
Isn't that so crazy? We all have Netflix, and we all watch the craziest different stuff.
Yeah, none of us probably have recommends.
This is why I can't have this conversation about, like, oh, is NBC or CBS in trouble to Netflix and streaming stuff because it is so individualized that anytime somebody asks me my opinion about stuff, I'm like, well, I know what I use my Netflix for, and it's different than what literally everybody else uses for. So I can't, you know, until they put out the ratings of, like, our highest rated thing is reruns of The Office. We need The Office.
When we lose
The Office, it'll hurt. Like, then I won't know.
Do you guys have other apps that you use, like Shudder, for example? Like,
Let's list them. Here's what I got. Disney Plus, Netflix. I don't have it currently, but I am going to get back into CBS All Access from a Trek. Gotta have my Star Trek.
And
gonna have Picard. They're going to season 3 of Discovery and all that stuff. I'm in. But there was a couple months where there was no Trek, so I was like, I can stop paying for this, and it's fine. I count it, but it's not movies, but I have Marvel Unlimited, which is just their comics on the website.
That's awesome.
And then I share or benefit from people in my life, loved ones, that have Amazon Prime, Hulu, and HBO. And that, I don't pay for those. This is it. That's all I got.
Okay.
I'm like, fine.
Netflix, Disney Plus, share Hulu, have Amazon Prime.
So you pay for Amazon Prime.
I pay for Amazon Prime. Yeah. I don't have HBO Max, but I plan to when I can afford it. It's $15 a month. I got it.
It is a lot.
I gotta get off the internet.
You gotta wait for Watchmen to finish season 1, then you binge it.
I've got the first 6 from Damon, so I'm in a very unique position.
Wow.
So I've seen the first 6.
Wow.
I know
from
more
your
than
buddy
anyone.
Damon. Well, no, Haley Fetch came in last week.
I was just about to say it. Thank you, Cody.
I was waiting for it.
I might have seen 2/3 of the season the first week came out.
Oh, good for you.
But HBO is something I want to get. It's just that price point's out of my range. And I weirdly use Crackle decently.
So how do you guys have all these apps but not Shudder?
What's Shudder?
I'm not as big of a horror person as you are.
Oh, okay. That's why.
Like a fake goth too?
Yes. And if I need to get a horror movie that's only available on Shudder, I have a buddy who has it. But if I need to get a horror movie, get that Netflix through the mail, baby. They'll send me the disc, the DVD.
You get that disc, drop it.
And Spotify. I forgot about Spotify.
Oh,
Spotify
is literally the best investment. Every month is the one thing that I actually like giving money to.
I definitely know.
I love Spotify. It's the best.
All of my music is on this iPod.
But what about
I don't
new
have
music?
A stream. Then I go and download it and put it on here.
But how
I don't
much
have
room
to stream.
Do
I don't need an internet connection. A lot of room.
Yeah.
I have
but that's
most...
not enough music.
Oh, it's
I have
fine.
Six different
you can
daily
only
recommends.
Listen to one song at a time.
Yeah.
So
challenge
I'm good.
Accepted, Hector Navarro. You don't know
I
how
just
I
listen
you
to
don't know how I live.
Hector, you don't know how I live.
Yeah.
I listen to music all the time.
Sure.
Like when I'm driving, when I don't, it's all the time.
And,
like,
shuffle
and
is
new
God.
Music.
Spotify's great.
I stopped listening to music so long ago.
Mark,
I just do podcasts.
What are you doing with your
podcast? I listen to podcasts all the time.
I go to a concert every 2 weeks to stay sane.
Why don't you?
Do you want to go to Jodena on Friday?
Maybe.
Okay.
Yeah. Podcast. Classical music, jazz, and movie scores is what I listen to when I work.
Jazz, that's good.
I've made my entire life genre entertainment, so if I made music, like, I can't do music. I need one thing in my life that I'm consuming that isn't something I put out. Like,
okay.
I read comics all the time because I talk comics. Yeah. I watch movies, I talk movies. So I feel like music is my one, like, this is just peace.
Yeah. And music is just, to me, I love all these different art forms. I will go to museums and look at paintings and sculptures. I obviously love film and TV, but music to me is the one thing that I can't explain because it's audio, right? And
right.
so like that's
but see,
it's
that stresses
incredible
me out.
But it's incredible. Are you kind of a control freak?
Yeah,
that's
I think
why.
So it stresses me out about how you can have Spotify, you can have music, you guys can go to concerts, you guys could listen to the radio,
right.
Hear a new song, enjoy it, and go, oh, what a great 3 minutes, and then it leaves and you might not go, who was that? Where is this? What album is this? When did this come out? What is this attached to? Is this on a movie score? Is this on a movie soundtrack?
Yeah.
Where did this come from? Meanwhile, I'm organizing everything.
Yeah.
So I have to organize, and I know
if I'm getting one score from a Marvel movie, I'm like, I'm going to get them all. Like, right. So it's like a systemic sort of control thing, and that's what I listen to. Or if there's a band that I love, I'm like, cool, I'm going to do that thing where I'm going to do the deep dive and get like all of their albums up to this point and do that kind of organizational. Yes.
But finding
and,
new stuff, I find that like artists you may like is so important to my whole
list. Yes, and also it's the best discovery tool out there that I found, like music-wise.
But I can't have something – I can't take on more stuff. That's where I'm at. I can't have somebody like,
I'm with
you.
You want to
hear this new band? You want to hear this new band?
I've got
like,
bands.
No.
I've got bands. Yeah. I know my bands.
Stop it. Yeah. I don't because then I'm going to – who is it? Great. I love them.
You
I need to get them all.
You literally have a container for music on purpose.
Yeah.
You have it like a Tupperware is closed.
That's right.
Fascinating.
I'm at my limit.
Okay, Hector. See, this is why I love getting you guys on these shows because we never
I'm
get
such
to
a
know
psychopath.
You.
I'm so well, sorry.
But
it's
that,
so
I
weird.
Think that's all the time we have today, guys, unfortunately. But I want to thank Koi, Hector, Mark Riley, Alex and Cody in the booth. You guys, I'm Darina. Thank you so much for joining us. We will be back with some more nerd talk tomorrow, more simulation talk, more alien talk. Love you guys. Bye.
Stay little Chico Pitbull, Mr. 305, better said Mr. Worldwide, and I'm here to tell you about my new podcast, From Negative to Positive, brought to you by my friends over at State Farm. I believe that to have success, you got to play the game, so that the game doesn't play you. You know, the biggest risk you take is not taking one. It's very important that you make sure that you make the most out of your money, especially when it comes to insurance. State Farm offers surprisingly great rates. They have great agents standing by helping you personalize your coverage. All this is backed up by award-winning, easy-to-use technology. It's a great price with an even greater service. When you want the real deal, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
We begin today's meditation with a few sipping exercises to remind us a little treat can go a long way. So pick up your McCafe iced coffees, close your eyes, and deep sip in. And deep satisfaction out.
Take a treat retreat at McDonald's. Right now, get a McCafe iced coffee in any size and any flavor for just 99 cents until 11 a.m. Price of participation may vary.